Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio. This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Have no place to go, darling.
WGN. Boy, we were talking yesterday, Dave, about bandwagon jumpers with Loyola. I'm seeing news reporters who are friends wearing the maroon and gold scarves. Mm-hmm. They had was it by the Thompson Center where they set up the Super Joe? Do you know this? They set up a couple of these pop-up stores with all kinds of Rambler gear. I think one was at the Thompson Center, and they sold out of everything. T-shirts, scarves.
They've put Loyola gear in some of the major sporting goods stores where you never saw it before. I mean, there's seemingly this sudden appetite, and it's great. And people are excited about this and what's going to happen this weekend.
And they all get to wear it for one day, which is really exciting.
Now, Joe, you can buy Michigan gear anywhere, though.
Yep, you sure can.
Every time I say Michigan, why do you smile? You just get this big look of glee.
It's a happy situation over here. Yeah, you know, everybody's for Loyola, and it'll be fun until Saturday.
And you know what I never noticed before was the mufflers, the scarves. They look like the Gryffindor scarves.
Yeah, that's
from,
what. I called them the Harry Potter scarves to Dave. Was it yesterday or the day before?
Lou Manfredini was in yesterday, and he was wearing his.
I guess
it was something of a collectible that he had stored away in a trunk.
Lou has, when he started House Smarts, he does Ask Lou, you know, questions, and he always tries to represent all the colleges, so he'll always try and wear Michigan and Illinois, so I believe he is speaking the truth when he said he had
he
the
represents
Loyola,
all of them.
When he said that he had the Loyalist of packed away.
Where can he buy it? I mean, do you have to go on campus?
No, there's these pop-up stores now, that's what we're saying, all like by the Thompson Center, there was one yesterday, and then there was one on the north side, too. You know, like when the Cubs won the World Series, they have these pop-up stores, and they're selling
out
of everything.
But Dick's usually gets these deals on everything. Can you buy them at Dick's?
Yes, apparently you can, but they've got Loyola stuff like for the first time. So, and
how does that work, Dave? I mean, you're involved in embezzling from Northwestern, I'm sure. So how does that work from a financial standpoint? Does the school strike a licensing deal with the store like right at the last moment?
I'm not sure if it's the
or
school.
Or the NCAA?
I'm not sure if it's the school or it's the manufacturers who have the officially licensed
item. Oh, that would make sense.
Item.
Yeah, that would make sense. How much?
$20?
I hope they're charging through the roof for it.
I think the
t-shirts. This is like plywood before a tornado. You got to get your money's worth.
Or the concert tee. We should charge them
concert tee prices.
80 bones.
Absolutely. 80 bones. I think the t-shirts were $20.
That's
I don't
a good
know
deal.
What the scarves were going for, but everyone's wearing those scarves.
I probably need a Loyola hat, don't I?
Yeah, you do.
Cover
sure.
this bald head.
For sure.
I just want to line up and get a blessing from Sister Jean. I think that'd be nice.
They selling those?
I don't know. I think they could make some money. I'd pay for
pretty
one.
Pretty sure that's not how Christianity works.
No, but $80.
You can see
everything's $80.
Yep, everything's $80.
Having grown up a Catholic, here's how it works: you donate to one of the Loyola parishes,
and then you get a Sister Jean blessing.
And then you get a Sister Jean blessing,
and then a wing named after you too, right?
Right.
A wing of the church.
Well, you have that much money.
Can you imagine if Sister Jean? Everybody that would want to meet Sister Jean, how about that for a line?
Oh my God.
Wow. That'd be great.
Just to have an opportunity to tell her how much fun she appears to be.
Sister Jean would be like, I have places to be now. Come on.
Well, she's got to work on her jumper. She's got a lot going on. Dave, as you know, the sight lines are different in a big building.
Yes, they are.
You know?
Yeah.
She's got a lot to consider.
Mm-hmm.
2 days away, kids. Let's do the top six.
From the Steve Cochran Auditorium in the lovely Sunrise Hotel, it's time to get your kicks.
Get your kicks.
With the top six at six, sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men.
Planning a last-minute trip to San Antonio, we have the 10th largest lottery jackpot in U.S. history, $502 million, going to go off on Saturday night. Is that right, or is this the Friday night draw?
the Mega Millions.
The Mega Millions is Friday, I think.
It's the Mega Millions jackpot, $502 million, 10th largest in the U.S. Andrea, put your lottery people on that, will you?
Okay, I will.
I think it's Friday.
I will. It is Friday.
It's Friday night. Okay. Yeah. So there you go. $502 million gets you a nice weekend in San Antonio.
Yeah.
Probably several nice weekends in San Antonio. I went out and got my tickets for what night? It was Tuesday night. Was the drawing the $468 million drawing?
I should get in a regular habit of winning the lottery, but I haven't.
Yeah.
Well, I don't usually buy them, mm-hmm. but there was a news tease one of the stations, and
Channel
they said,
9.
Probably, but it was $468 million. I said, I'm going to run up. There's a gas station on the corner. They sell lottery tickets.
Were you surprised that you didn't win?
I was shocked and stunned. Yes.
I want to warn everybody on this show. My brother Mickey is coming out to visit soon.
Cool.
And he's probably got another fundraiser up his sleeve. So I wouldn't spend all your money on lottery tickets, but I'm sure Mickey's going to be hitting you up for something.
I didn't spend a lot.
Quack. Kim Jong-un and President Moon Jae-in of South Korea are going to meet for the first time on April 27th. They're probably going to meet at that famous house that you see on the Demilitarized Zone pictures.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That's the talk, that they're going to meet at that DMZ. The DMZ Inn.
Uh-huh. Right. Leave the light on.
Yeah, leave the light on, and they are planning on doing that. And he's also talking now, Japan apparently has reached out. You're talking about $80 T-shirts. I'm telling you right now, Kim Jong-un needs to get tour shirts the way he's going. He's in China. Now he's going to South Korea. Next thing you know, he's going to be in Japan. Then he's meeting with Trump. Who knows where?
On his train. How funny is that?
That just train, by the way, we have some specs on that train.
Yeah.
Armored train with all the cool stuff on the inside.
It is cool.
I'm just saying.
What would the T-shirt say? Would it be like, my dictator went to Beijing?
And all I got was this crappy T-shirt? Right? It's not bad. It's not bad.
Or I'm with him. You know, and then the arrow, yes. And then Moon, where's the other one? I'm with him.
I'm with Kim.
Yes, I'm with Moon, and I'm with Kim. Yeah.
This is kind of brainstorming we do here. Quack. Donald Trump has fired Veterans Affairs Secretary Shulkin and nominating a guy that is going to take some serious heat in his confirmation hearings about whether or not he's qualified. The reason is the VA is, I believe, the second, maybe the third largest bureaucracy in the government with over 300,000 federal employees and billions and billions and billions and billions and billions and billions of dollars in a budget. And while Ronnie Jackson may well be a great doctor, he appears to have not administrated anything yet. And you can imagine the Democrats giving him a hard time. But I would guess the Republican senators as well on the confirmation committee are going to have some questions. Mm-hmm. But the president likes to have people around him who he likes.
Right.
And he would like to see friendly faces in cabinet meetings of people that he would like to nominate.
Mm-hmm. He was also, I mean, in somewhat of a bipartisan fashion, he was also one of President Obama's doctors, too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. I don't think there's any question. He's a bipartisan guy. The question is, can he run a seriously screwed up federal agency
right.
with a whole lot of money involved? Those confirmation hearings still to come. Quack. Quack. Chicago has joined the Great Lakes Basin Partnership to block Asian carp. Now, maybe saying, Steve, this is really on the top six. Well, here's why. The Asian carp problem in the lake has never fully gone away.
Mm-hmm.
Those damn Asian carp. I was in a band called the Damn Asian Carp. Mayor Rahm Emanuel says Chicago endorses the plan and will do its part to protect the lakes from this invasive species. When our friend Roger German was running the shed, he tried to educate us on all of this and why it's a problem.
Yeah.
But the Asian carp are not friendly.
No, they're
not.
We
want them out of the lake.
No, they're not.
And they're not taking a hint. So, the Great Lakes Basin Partnership to Block Asian Carp. Huge business card, but it's an important organization and important to the health of the lake. Next. City Council approved major pieces around Emanuel's O'Hare International Plan as expected. Part of the proposal, a $4 billion bond, because you're wondering where the money's going to come from to do this. Mm-hmm. $4 billion, and that's not even halfway there.
Correct. It's an $8.5 billion plan. This money will be used for the gates, the concourses, and that updated international terminal that's going to replace Terminal 2. And they also approve new lease and use agreements for all of the gates. And what essentially that does is allow the work to be paid for using airport fees instead of another tax that would be slapped on Chicago residents.
Ticket prices going up for this?
Good question, Steve.
We don't know.
TBD.
And then there's this. Former CPS chief Paul Vallis, Mr. Vallis, and his wife recently suffered the loss of their son.
Yeah.
Who's to judge how you handle that? Mm-hmm. But he's decided to get right back into work, and he's going to run for mayor.
Yes, he is. He's going to file electronically late Sunday night, and the irony is that it's April Fool's Day.
On Sunday?
Yes. But he's not fooling around. He's
actually running.
He's going to actually run, yes.
So then it's Vallis, Gary McCarthy, and Rahm so far.
That's correct. And Willie Wilson.
Yeah. Oh, I forgot about Willie. Yeah.
Willie Wilson.
How could I forget Willie? Mm-hmm. So all of those four. And Willie ran for president, remember?
That's right. And yeah. possibly Bridget Gaynor, although no official word from her yet.
Is there still hints about that?
Mm-hmm.
Well, Sandberg, we got to get Bridget Gaynor on the phone. Get her on the phone, get her in here. If she's going to make some sort of announcements, this better not be at a press conference.
No, she'd hopefully do it here, right? She said she would.
I doubt it. It's 6:19.
That's all today for the Top 6 at 6.
No more!
Sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men.
Another night with nothing to do. We can't get stuck at home again.
6:24. Got some business to clear up here at the radio station. Nick, you don't deal with this. Nick DiGiulio joins us now, but the parking lot is like musical cars. It's like whenever the music stops, make sure you find a space.
Yeah.
Because Taraji P. Henson and her friends have been shooting Empire in the parking lot for...
A couple days.
Yeah, over a week now, right?
Yeah, they're gone.
They're gone now?
All the stuff is gone.
Okay. Yeah.
When I asked the security guard what was going on, she said, all I know is that Lucius was just in the parking lot.
Yeah, and by the way, that is the phrase of Pace. If Lucius is in the parking lot, you're a big winner. So yesterday, Dick, I go out to my car, and the car next to me was parked kind of close, and I sort of wedge myself in, and my foot slips off the running board, and my door hits the car next to mine, and I thought, oh, boy, now you got troubles. Mm. And I look, and there's like an excessively large dent in the door, and I'm thinking, well, you know, I got the white lightning. It's a big, strong door.
White lightning.
But there's no damage to my car, so because nobody else is parking there, I put Sandberg on special private eye duty to find out whose car this was. And it turns out it was somebody from our office, very nice person, who was nice enough to say no, the dent was there.
So is Mary like the fixer or the cleaner?
She got to take on parking duties with one of our management folks, Stephanie, being out of town. And I became part of your problem yesterday.
You did. And so it's incredibly difficult to find out who was driving what car in what spot,
right.
It turns out. So I had every department head asking people in their department if they drive that kind of car.
Oh, yeah. She called Traffic Central. She's like, Mary, could you find out if anybody has any? I go, what?
What are you doing?
I know.
Steve's destroying cars in the parking lot. It's demolition derby.
Don't tell anybody, but go in the newsroom. Okay.
I know. I was impressed that the person that you hit said, oh, that dent was already there.
Right. And the reason I didn't leave a note.
They could have had you do that. I mean,
right. You had me redo the entire car.
Yeah.
Right.
So anyway, it's Tabitha. Thank you, Tabitha. And I'm sorry I hit your car.
Well, more importantly, is your car okay?
Apparently the white lightning is indestructible.
White lightning.
Like maybe when I say white lightning, you guys should yell Tahoe. I don't know if that word the game works.
Yeah,
you say
right.
Lightning, I say Tahoe. Lightning.
Tahoe.
Let's go live now to Nick, who's been standing by listening to this. Point of all of this, Nick, is if I ever run into your car, I'll have Mary fix it.
Okay.
All right. And kudos to both of you for your honesty. Because it was really nice of you to say, okay, I hit your car. Instead of just driving away, you could have been a jerk about it.
Honestly, who does that as an adult?
And she's very cool.
I know people do that, but who does that? You know what I'm saying?
There are people who do that.
Don't do that.
Yeah.
If you're a grown up, you run into somebody's car, you nick a car, you gotta let them know you nicked their car.
Dave and I have dents all over the left side of our car, but that's all we're going to say.
Do you know who parks to the other side?
I do.
Okay. Well, let's out them. New movies coming up, Nick?
Yeah, Ready Player One is the new Spielberg movie that's getting all the hype.
Is this a video game movie?
Well, it's about a guy who creates a virtual reality world called the Oasis. He dies. He leaves three keys that you can find in this virtual reality world. And if you find all three of the keys, you run Oasis. This kid, played by Ty Sheridan, jumps into this world of the Oasis. And once he gets in there, it's action-packed, crazy adventures, and as many references and pop culture references and movie references that you can shake a stick at. I know somebody who's seen the movie twice and still hasn't caught all the crazy references and characters from other movies, like King Kong is in it, the Iron Giant is in it, the car from Back to the Future is in it. And that's just not even the tip of the iceberg of all of the references, mostly 80s in the movie. And it's from what I've heard, it's best seen in IMAX or 3D because it's a totally immersive experience. And a lot of people are saying this is like one of the most exciting Spielberg movies in many, many, many years.
But is it dramatic or is it gimmicky? Or I don't entirely get it because it feels like a weird movie for him to do.
Well, it's just a sort of like a love letter to other adventure movies and action movies, stuff that we grew up watching, things that we really loved, and it's all in one crazy sort of virtual reality world. And the it's based on a book. It's based on a pretty popular science fiction book, but it's all jacked up with a lot of really. One of the fun things about the movie, from what I've heard, is aside from the fact that the action sequences are great, it's a blast and it's a lot of fun, are trying to spot all of the crazy references and characters from other movies in it.
It's a drinking game without the booze.
Exactly.
And Nick and I are still working on finishing our script, Pong, which is more of a 70s thing, and your two lead characters are just very slow and they only move up and down.
That's right. And then the sequel that we're working on is Breakout.
Right. Right, right, right. We've already written both. Isle of Dogs, right. What is that?
Isle of Dogs is Wes Anderson's new animated movie. One of the things I love about it is the clever wordplay, the puzzling wordplay of the title of the movie. Can you figure it out?
No, I absolutely can't. I saw the trailer, and the trailer actually looked interesting.
Well, the trailer's going to be great. I'm asking about the title.
I don't know.
The movie is Isle.
I don't know. Hey,
Isle
Snappy, easy now. Okay. I'm only as smart as I can be at 6:29. Isle of Dogs.
Can anybody figure it out?
Isle of Dogs. Anybody got Isle of Dogs? What does it mean?
Isle of Dogs.
It's a little wordplay.
Like dogs are in the Isle at Jewel?
No.
Like I love
island?
Dogs.
Okay. The Let dog ask, island?
Ah, there you go. Who just said that?
Super Joe's. Wait, no. Super Joe said, I love dogs. Is that the answer?
That's it. I love dogs.
Aww,
nice job, Super
you.
Joe.
What's up?
Super Joe.
Sensitive.
Yeah, there you go.
I love dogs. That's like a little clever wordplay. But let me tell you, first of all, it's animated. And if it's half as good as Fantastic Mr. Fox, it's going to be one of the best movies of the year. But let me run down some of the voice work here. Okay. You guys ready for this?
Yeah.
All right. Let me just. These are the actors that he has involved doing voices for this movie: Bryan Cranston, Edward Norton, Bill Murray, Jeff Goldblum, Bob Balaban, Ken Watanabe, Greta Gerwig, Frances McDormand, Fisher Stevens, Harvey Keitel, Liev Schreiber, Scarlett Johansson, Tilda Swinton, F. Murray Abraham, Yoko Ono, and Courtney B. Vance.
He's got some friends.
Yeah, he does.
Wow.
Yeah.
Did you know there was that deep a connection to him?
People love working. People want to work with him. And there's a lot of his regulars that have worked with him many times, like Bill Murray and Edward Norton, guys like F. Murray Abraham. They've been in his movies before. And anybody who works with him wants to work with him again. And anybody who hasn't worked with him is dying to work with him. And like I said, have you seen Fantastic Mr. Fox, his other animated movie?
Yeah, I liked it a lot.
I adore that movie. Yeah. And this looks as good, if not better, and I'm just very, very excited about it.
The lead dog looks just, it's funny when you watch a trailer and go, wow, that's a cool dog. It's a cartoon dog. But that's the vibe you get immediately. You go, well, that's one cool dog. That's a dog. You'd like to be that dog.
Yeah. It's about a kid trying to get his dog off of this garbage-strewn island where all of the dogs have been casted out. And so a bunch of, like, six other dogs try to help him out find his dog. That's the plot. Everything I've heard has been wonderful, and I love Wes Anderson. He's one of my very, very, very favorite directors, and so I'm really looking forward to that one.
And speaking of Taraji P. Henson, Tyler Perry's Acrimony?
Yeah, it's about it's Tyler Perry. It's about a woman who he's being cheated on. She's going to plant revenge, and it may or may not be happening. Here's the new twist about this Tyler Perry movie, Steve. It was shot in 8 days, which means it's going to suck in a whole new way.
8 days?
Yeah.
What did he have? What did he have a vacation plan? Who shoots a movie in 8 days?
She was shooting obviously Empire. She was shooting Empire, had a very tight schedule, and he's like, "We can shoot this thing in 8 days." So, like I said, there's going to be a whole new way of it sucking now.
Although 8 days, you can't put on a middle school play in 8 days.
Yeah, I know.
I know it's Tyler Perry, but I love her. I love Empire. I just am hooked on that show.
Well, you'll like this then, because I don't know if you know this. Hell hath no fury.
I know.
Like a woman scorned.
Yes.
I don't know how any guy is going to go to this movie, because what guy wants to go to a movie and see a woman who's really, really angry about a guy cheating on a woman?
Right.
Right.
Yeah. All right. You know, the one positive thing I can say about it is that Madea's not in it. So that's the only positive thing I can say.
Well, you know, maybe a cameo. Little Shop of Horrors, Tuesday, April 3rd, AMC Rosemont 18. It's next Tuesday. Well, this coming Tuesday night.
This coming Tuesday, yeah.
And how are we doing?
$9.99 to get in. You can reserve your seats now at amctheaters.com. And this is the director's cut with the ending that Frank Oz was forced to change. It's his original ending, which is much darker and much crazier. And one of the first times you'll ever see it on the big screen.
Thanks, buddy.
Yeah, man.
Talk to you later. That's Nick DiGilio. It's headlines next on 720 WGN.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
.645, 2 days before Loyola of Chicago Beach, Michigan. Right, Super Joe?
No way, man.
Gotta get to the bottom of this Super Joe thing with Michigan. All right, did you consider going to Michigan?
Oh, yeah, it was my dream school all growing up and stuff.
And you didn't get in? Or did you not apply?
No, I applied. It was just a little out of my my price range.
Okay, so it was a money thing. It wasn't a Joe's smart enough to get into Michigan thing.
Yep.
Okay. So even though you didn't go, your loyalty stayed.
Oh, for sure.
Okay. When you look at pictures of Sister Jean, don't you feel a little bit guilty that you're supporting Michigan?
Not really, no.
Do you know Joe worked with me at a Northwestern Michigan football game at the Big House a couple years ago?
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Was that a thrill for you, Super Joe?
It might have been the greatest day of my life.
Even more so than when I told you you were hired here?
Oh, way, way better than that.
Oh, my God.
Are you the only Michigan fan in your family?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And do you
well, my dad, you know, my dad roots for the football team, I guess, but, okay. But that's just because I do.
So your dad copies you?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Where will you watch the game on Saturday?
I'm actually going to my uncle's house, my aunt and uncle's house, and they are Loyola grads.
Oh.
So you're going to be the trouble.
House divided.
Yep.
Sandberg, what do you make of this? You're in the back room with them all the time.
He's pretty intense about this whole Michigan thing.
Yeah, it seems like it means a lot to him.
It does.
It almost makes me want to root for Michigan.
I know, because Joe is likable.
No, not really, no.
Me personally, I don't care about the tournament, so I'm...
I just don't know how he can vote against Sister Jean at this point.
I don't even want to tell you what he's been saying about Sister Jean.
What?
Joe?
What?
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Oh, now you brought God into it.
All right, Joe. Well, listen, I truly hope that Michigan is in it till at least the five-minute mark in the first half.
I want to know if Joe's going to be in a good mood if it's a tight game at this party.
Yeah, is your uncle going to kick you out?
Oh, definitely. Yeah.
Let's all start texting Joe with 5 minutes to go.
He told me there was some game that he was watching. I don't know if it was the Blackhawks or Michigan, where he had to like stop watching and leave the house and then come back.
Wait. Yeah, Michigan was losing to Ohio State in basketball one time, and I was getting a little too upset, so I left and came back. And actually, the thing that called me down was, you know that song by Sting, Can't Stand Losing?
Sure.
Yeah. That's
you just
what
played it
down.
Over in your head over and
no,
over
No, it was just randomly on the radio.
Oh, it was like a message.
It was like Sister Jean put it on.
Sister Jean trying to calm you down.
Yeah.
All right, I still don't entirely understand the loyalty, but I respect it. Now, when you have friends that support teams and you don't understand the reason, are you judgmental of them?
Absolutely not.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, you like your teams, that's what it is.
He's Super Joe.
He is Super Joe. You know, when you go through that phase in grade school where college sweatshirts become part of your wardrobe, every summer we would go to a place in Gordon, Wisconsin, near where Mary goes, and we would get a college sweatshirt starting in like fifth grade to eighth grade. And I, because my name is Mary, got a Michigan sweatshirt with an M on it.
Oh, right.
And I like navy blue.
And Super Joe stole it from you?
He did. He did. And, you know, my husband graduated from Michigan State now, and he gets mad at me if I talk about that Michigan sweatshirt that I had when I was in sixth grade.
Come on.
Yeah.
But seriously, think about it. Because, and I'm not taking sides here, but as irrational as you can be, don't you think Pat should be irrational occasionally? Shouldn't it be fair for Pat to be goofy and irrational at times?
I think, yes.
Just to balance it off.
I guess, yes. But he gets, I don't understand why you always have to bring that up.
The sweatshirt.
Wow.
It's in a lot of pictures, so what am I supposed to do?
Dave, are you like this about Northwestern?
In terms
as a graduate,
of-
I mean. As a grad, is protective of it, and when people get judgmental about it or people question it.
Well, I think people make assumptions, and I will quickly
you know, it's funny. I guess that's the only benefit of being a dropout, because I know you're that way about Illinois.
I am.
Vandeveld, you're kind of like that about Illinois.
Oh, yeah. Pretty defensive.
Steve Grzanich, where'd you graduate from?
Southern Illinois University.
Are you like that about the Salukis? Are you protective?
I am. Yeah. I'm not rabid, but I am protective.
I feel bad for the Ithaca College Bombers. But I was only there a year. So, you know.
Are they really the Bombers?
Yeah, the Bombers. Yeah.
Okay. Oh, they must have a cool logo. I mean, cool.
Or they could be in a lot of trouble with Homeland
cool
Security.
Years. Yeah, no, it's not that. Yeah. It's not like an Acme Wile E. Coyote right. thing with a fuse. I took a year's leave of absence in 1981. I can go back.
Sure you can.
Go back anytime.
Yeah. You can do that online thing now, so you could finish it.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Lots of older folks are going back to campus. You know,
first Joe,
go back
now
to college.
Your discounts.
Oh. Wait, let's get Bridget in here to call you. You're just like my dad.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's great.
Hey,
that's
wait,
right.
Wouldn't they have given you by now, though, an honorary degree?
Mm-hmm.
I stopped sending money.
Oh, all right.
They were asking for regular donations. Once I became semi-well-known, they wanted some money. But when I stopped sending money, they stopped asking about when I might come back and visit.
They just lost your address.
Yeah, I'm sure that's
not even to make the graduation speech or anything?
No, you know, they draw pretty well. So, you know, there's a lot of kids with money in that school, so they get pretty interesting people to do the commencement address. I could just see the thrill as I walk to the microphone at the commencement. 4 years and I got this guy? Who's the old bald guy? All right, listen, Chuck Todd not available today, and we'll talk a little bit about the news from D.C. and Springfield in this 7 o'clock hour. But before we go any further, we were talking in that first half hour of the show about the fact that my car door slammed into the car door of Tabitha, our promotions and marketing guru here, in the parking lot. And it took us a couple hours to figure out whose car it was, but we tracked it out. Anyway. Last week, I said, who owes you an apology? Here's the text question today. And we put some calls on Joe about this as well. What do you need to apologize for? And you could do this anonymously.
Oh.
What do you need to apologize for? Confession.
Yes, it's confession week.
It's confession
for
Thursday.
Lent. There you go.
And it's Lent, so it's perfect.
All right. So what do you need to apologize for? Could be years old. Could be something you did a long time ago. So what do you need to apologize for?
Mm.
Okay. And then, by the way, if you don't think you need to apologize for anything, you're the problem. And I'll make up stuff for you.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Texter is apologizing for things. 630, I need to apologize to the old bald guy I cut off this morning and gave the finger to. Sorry, Steve.
Oh.
So that's how it's going to be.
Oh, because you were in your
So
town.
That's how it's going to be. 219, I need to apologize for lowering the internet bandwidth to a crawl on my router when my roommate starts yelling about his computer games. Be careful. If you live with a nerd, they know how to mess up your life, man. And I say nerd in a loving, positive way.
Right.
708, I have to apologize for bad-mouthing Steve Cochran when he came back to WGN. I was wrong. Mea culpa, Mike. Well, thank you, Mike.
Oh.
That's very nice.
Yeah,
very
it
nice
takes a long time to fall in love with me, but once you do, you can't get out.
It only took 3 years to apologize. It was nice.
402, you're treating that Super Joe kid with kid gloves. Okay, I need to apologize as a texter. I need to apologize for thinking Super Joe is a no-good SOB for not rooting for the local Chicago team in the Final Four. So it was kind of a double-edged text there. One, they wanted to slam you, Super Joe. Then they wanted to apologize for slamming you.
I can take it. Neck, I need to improve on the old trash talk.
630. Sorry, I found your stash, and I'm the one who took the Thin Mints. These are people that need to apologize. People apologizing today for stuff they need to apologize for here in Holy Week. I'm apologizing for not putting the toilet seat down the next time I don't do it. 6-3, according to my mother and brother that stole my inheritance, they need to apologize to me. Now, that was last week. And we got a Michigan fan or two that's chiming in as well. But, Joe, unfortunately, we're out of time. It's 6:58. Game time Saturday, Dave, is what?
5:09.
Tip time. Michigan versus Loyola of Chicago. Current line on the game?
Last I saw it was 5 still. Michigan is giving 5.
Mm-hmm.
Loyola's 5-point underdog.
It's nothing. 5 is nothing.
No, it really isn't. I mean, that's basically, it is, I guess if you're gambling, it is, but for those who are just looking for a relative barometer.
It's a toss-up.
Yeah, it is. And yeah. Most games are in the NCAA tournament. Even if it's, I mean, just ask Maryland Baltimore County. However many points they were underdogs by.
Yeah, 100.
Yeah,
they were 100 point
dogs.
What's
the difference? They still went out and won the game.
Exactly.
I'm trying to do numerology, like 5:09.
Does that say something to you?
Not really.
Okay, all right.
I don't have anything yet.
Well, call Sister Jean. Taking your confessions of sort, what are you apologizing for? 312-981-7200 calls or texts. We're back with the news next, 720 WGN.
The Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
I'm very pleased with the cobblestone folks doing the rehab on my kitchen. And if you're considering this, talk more with Lou about this tomorrow. You know, the dust, I mean, there's going to be dust. And you can have some fun with it. Like yesterday, we put up tents and we did a remake of Ishtar. Like it was the middle of the desert.
Didn't you and Abigail have a dance party?
Did have a dance party. That was Maureen basically that started the dance party. And then Abigail just led us around the room.
Yeah.
Because she can throw down.
Yeah, she should.
She had a great, what I would consider to be one of those early female moments when I was with her on Monday afternoon. She wanted to do something, and we were watching a video. And she wanted to keep watching the video, and it was time not to watch the video anymore. And I told her we had to turn it off, and she started crying. You know, I want to watch the video. And, you know, so we had a little talk. And she just had this look about her. And I've seen this look on women. I've seen this look on you.
Yeah.
I've seen this look on women throughout my life. Where it's like, I don't know why I'm crying. I'm just crying.
I know.
And then when Lauren came home, her mom came home, she announced it. She goes, hey, Mommy, I cried.
Oh,
I cried. I'm telling you right now.
I cried.
We had a thing.
Yes.
We're good now, Pops and me. But for a moment there, we had a thing.
I thought you were going to say she turned to you and said, Pops, time's up.
No.
Enough.
You thought she was going to shut the video off on me?
Yeah, right.
Well, you know, she probably could have. Yeah.
Well, did the crying work?
No, but you know, I am an easy mark. It was the right time. I had to be firm. So I said, next time we'll just watch videos all day. You know, to really teach her. You know what I'm saying?
Steve, does this work?
Yes. It always works.
She'll remember.
Thank you.
But you are just days away from this, Mary Vandeveld, with your little grand squirt.
Oh. I just saw her last weekend the first time in a long time, and now she's at the phase where she cries when she sees people she doesn't really know that well.
Oh,
so she's
yeah.
Wah! I went, oh no, she doesn't like me. But two minutes later, she was fine.
Yeah. But you'll soon be in that manipulation phase.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. I heard Abigail talking to another 2-year-old. She goes, you know, Pops, I got him wrapped around my finger.
I watch videos whenever I say.
Yeah, I'm in charge here. Let's go to the texters here from the 708. These are people that need to apologize for things here during Holy Week. It's Confession Thursday. We've just changed the day. 708, I have to apologize for distracting Andre in physics class when we were back in high school.
Wait, who is it?
No name. Just a 708.
Is it Mark?
Is that who distracted you in physics class?
Maybe.
Was he cute or something?
Well, yeah, we see his last name was similar to mine, so we sat next to each other.
And you flirted with him the whole time when you were supposed to be doing physics?
We were just friends, but we did
not
pass.
I'm saying you were just friends, but were you flirting with him?
He would write me notes, and then the teacher found a note one time.
Oh.
Back before phones. We called it passing notes.
Do we know who it's from, Super Joe?
He actually signed it Mike.
Oh, Mike. Physics Mike.
Oh, I know who it is.
Well, look at you, you little tramp. How many people were you flirting with in physics class?
Just Mark and Mike, apparently.
Good Lord. 262, I need to apologize for throwing skinned muskrats on my math teacher's porch for Halloween.
Skinned what?
Muskrats, back in 1978.
It's an animal that used to exist.
No, there's still muskrats.
Well, Andrea just looks like, what's a muskrat?
Thank you, Marlon Perkins.
Well, how often do you say muskrat?
I didn't pay attention.
Well, it depends. If you're singing the Captain and Tennille song. 219, I apologize to everyone. I was on the grassy knoll. No, you weren't. No, you weren't. 912, as a new teacher, I apologize to all my teachers from the past. Yep, I get it now. Mm-hmm. 312, to my boss, I apologize for taking the rest of the week off for religious reasons, because I'm not that religious. 708, I apologize for listening to WGN during the dark times. Rest in peace, pig vomit.
Oh.
It's a long story. If you're not familiar with it, I don't have time to get into it, but yes, he's still gone.
We should say thank you for staying with us.
Oh, there's another. Look, that's coming in now. I'm not asking for these. These are just my mom and her friends, apparently. 920, Steve, I apologize for bad-muffing you for replacing Bram Meyer. Also, can you make that old bitter coach apologize to you as well?
Oh, yeah, the coach. He should apologize to you.
Bill, who are you apologizing to?
I want to apologize for my wife of 45 years, whose life I've ruined. Seriously.
I don't mean to laugh, dude, but honestly, you call up and say, I want to apologize for ruining my life, my wife's life. You understand that might strike me as funny.
Well, it's a long, I want to write a book about my life, and the title of my book was They Blame Me.
Okay. So is it really your fault, or is it not quite your fault?
No, most of it's my fault.
Okay, well, there you go.
I unfortunately worked for my brother for a very long time, and that started the ball rolling, and it's kind of carried on. Then I went through a 10-year period, which I really don't want to talk about. But
it'll be in the book. I mean, you don't want to blow the book anyway. So are you still married?
Oh, yeah, I'm married, and unfortunately, I'm... Right now, I moved my bed into the basement because I applied for Social Security benefits a few weeks ago, and my wife has this thing about getting the flu, and she thought I'd catch the flu, and I don't have the flu, and I haven't been sick for 2 years. So.
Maybe it's the snoring. Do you snore?
Oh, yeah, I snore.
Oh, well, that's it. She's just trying to be nice to you. She's blaming the Social Security.
And I move my arms around like crazy. And so.
Well, no wonder she had you move to the basement. She's just trying to be polite. All right, hold on. Give him anything he wants off the prize list. Guy's going through some stuff.
He's got a lot going on. And the flailing, too.
The flailing arms and the snoring. Other than that.
Poor guy.
Let's take a break, come back. You can continue to text in your things I need to apologize for at 312-981-7200.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Kevin Powell standing by, but let me say hi to our friend Eric Edelstein here. How are you?
I'm great.
Thanks for being here. Nice to see you. Are you excited about Loyola?
I'm very excited. Very excited. What a great story for Chicago and for the country.
Why have none of the politicians tried to glom onto Sister Jean for photo ops?
I think she's too smart for them. I think she's able to duck out of the way, and she's got a pretty good crossover, I've heard. So she gets out of the way.
I would expect there to be fist fights to try to get a picture with Sister Jean amongst everybody running for office.
Did you see that story about Michigan put Jalen Rose's grandmother up there?
Oh, yeah. Trash talking, baby.
Wow.
Trash talking.
They can't even give us Sister Jean. They got to,
Well, Sister Jean's only 98. Yeah. Jalen Rose's grandmother's 100.
Spring chicken.
Yeah, she couldn't even catch her.
It's very exciting. Be exciting.
There's going to be a great photo op at that game between Sister Jean and Jalen Rose's mom, don't you think?
Well, I don't know.
I don't know that I'd put them together.
I don't know if she's going to be there.
Jalen Rose's grandma?
Grandmother.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I think it's pretty amazing that 98-year-old Sister Jean is doing all this traveling.
Yeah. Right.
You know what I mean? Eric, you're a sports guy. You like us? You like Loyola's chances?
I do. I mean, I think it's, I mean, again, conventional wisdom, I have no great insight. I think they can beat Michigan. It's hard when you look at the other bracket. You know, you're looking at like six first-round NBA draft picks on the floor at the same time. I just think, Kansas and Villanova are in a different league. But, stranger things have happened, and it's great. It's very exciting.
And Loyola, I mentioned this the other day, Dave, Loyola has to compete on a different level because all the other schools cheat.
stroke. You know, there's that.
Not all of them, Steve.
I will tell you the other thing. When I was a kid, DePaul went to the Final Four, and that changed me and a whole bunch of generation of Chicago kids who wanted to go to Ray Meyer basketball camps and wanted to play high school basketball. And I think Loyola will have a major, major impact the way the Hawks had on youth hockey here. And I think it's just a great, great thing all the way around, particularly when there's all these bad stories about college basketball, Dave, and you know the FBI stuff and all that. And it seems like they did it the right way.
DePaul was bigger than the Bulls in the late 70s, early 80s. And they're number one in the country. They went to the Final Four in 79, lost in one of the great Final Fours ever, with the which ended with the Bird against Magic.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And that sort of started the superstar era.
It did.
And I would argue that until Chris Collins took the Northwestern Wildcats to the big dance last year, we had been in a college basketball drought for 30-plus years.
Yeah, and now I think you see all these programs. I think it elevates everybody. I said this the other day, that you have one program going well, and it kind of ups the ante for the other programs. Northwestern did it last year. Obviously, Loyola's gotten further. UIC is in one of the lesser tournaments, but they're in the championship game. They've won 20 games.
Don't forget Illinois in 2005.
Illinois in
University of Illinois' slogan for basketball right now is, wait till 2005.
Yeah. No, it's remember 2005.
Oh, is that what it is?
Hold on to.
Well, they still staged one of the great comebacks ever there in college basketball against Arizona.
Joe just did one of the great reminders of all time. Like, he thought I forgot Kevin was on the phone, so we ran the intro again.
Well, this is the second time we've done that to him.
What? Put him on hold and left him there?
Yep.
And he's young. He'll get over it.
And Kevin's updates, by the way, on the Ramblers in San Antonio, sponsored by Subway Restaurants, home of the new signature wraps.
Kevin, live from San Antonio, you're probably enjoying listening to the show, weren't you?
I was, very much so, yes. It was entertaining stuff. I would have waited for another, at least another half hour.
See, there you go. There you go. Eric Adelstein's here. I was asking Eric, Kevin, how many points it would be worth for a politician to get a Sister Jean photo right now?
I'm trying to go full professional reporter mode, but I've seen a lot of people taking selfies with her, even if they weren't just fans. So I think it's a little different. If you take a selfie with a 90-year-old nun, I may try to sneak one of those in this weekend. She's supposed to meet with us tomorrow morning, so that's her lone scheduled meeting with the media is tomorrow morning
for
before
mayor.
The open printing. Yeah,
this is his shot.
Gets the picture. This is his shot.
You get the photo. You could run for mayor and win.
I'm going for it.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. In all seriousness, she is 98 years old. Do they have some protection for her from all these fans?
I haven't seen a ton of fans yet. I'm sure we're going to see more today around downtown San Antonio and especially tomorrow. But I believe she's scheduled to arrive later today. So I'm sure they're going to have a full security squad around her because she's, as she says, she's an international rock star now.
She is.
She said she. They said she's a national star, and she was like, "Let me correct you, I'm an international star."
So, she's a funny lady.
It's hilarious.
Yeah,
she's a funny lady.
Looking forward to talking to her.
All right. So you say no fans on the ground yet. Who is there? Just mostly media.
Yeah, mostly media, and then we're going to hear from Porter Moser, and we'll have an open locker room. We'll hear from all the coaches today in about a few hours. So that's the first round of interviews, and then some more interviews tomorrow, and then their first open practice will be tomorrow at the Alamo Dome. So that's kind of the schedule for the next couple of days, and then game time Saturday night.
He did say yesterday that they were going to have dinner. The team was going to have dinner last night as a group, and then
they were going to eat
after.
That's news. That's breaking news, Dave. That
no, I didn't. No, I mean somewhere like on the Riverwalk.
Oh, I see. Okay.
But then after that, the you're really unbelievable.
I just want to clear it up for the listeners. I didn't know if we had a big story there. The team had dinner.
Well, I hope they didn't get caught in the rain. It was a torrential downpour last night. People were scattering on the Riverwalk, so hopefully the team was undercover.
Yeah, and by the way, San Antonio is a great city. Don't just get caught up in the Riverwalk hype. Go to the Alamo as well. The Alamo. I don't understand the Alamo, by the way. The Alamo walls are about 4 feet high.
Right.
Anybody could have gotten over the wall at the Alamo.
Well, it was a different time.
Living room.
Yeah, so. We made
a house.
But he was putting the Riverwalk off limits to the players after last
night. Oh, that's smart.
Which makes sense.
No, it's smart.
Because as he said, it's pretty crazy around there.
No, it's completely smart. All right, so what's your lead question when you sit down with Coach today?
I want to kind of get the vibe of the team. They've been so steady this entire tournament. I want to see kind of the reaction to what this is. I mean, it's the Final Four. Their entire stadium or their entire team hotel is covered with images and photos from their tournament run so far. So they basically personalize every hotel for each team. So it's a big stage, obviously. So I'm just kind of curious to see how these guys are handling it, which I'm sure they are handling it just fine considering how calm they've been throughout this tournament. But I guess that's kind of my first question for Coach Moser today.
All right, it's tough to shoot in a big building. When do they get to practice and figure all that out?
Yeah, they had a practice yesterday, and we're going to talk to them again about that today because it's weird for the Final Four. They started doing this probably, I don't know, Dave, like 10 years ago where they started having games in football.
Longer than that. So, Yeah,
and it's
80s, right? Goes back to the late 80s.
Goes back to the Houston Astrodome.
They had
Final Fours.
Well, it's you've heard players before talk about the weird. It's just weird. I mean, especially for Loyola, they play in a 5,000 seat arena. Now they're going to go to the Alamo Dome, which I believe max capacity is about 65,000.
I think it's a little higher than that, actually.
And it's angles, distractions, sight lines.
Exactly. But I think you have that. You have the size, and then you have the crowd. I mean, just the magnitude of the event.
Yep.
I mean, as big as every game along the way has been. Now here you just take and multiply it by 1,000.
Right. Kev, I know you you're skinny, Kev, now as opposed to when you were working for me. But there's some great restaurants in San Antonio, and you can't leave San Antonio without having Mexican or barbecue. Just so you know.
All right, I'll have to. If you have any suggestions, I'll shoot you a text later. Because I'd love to try some local grub.
Yeah, you got to do what you got to do. And we were trying to get you on yesterday, but you were too big for us to talk about the new food at Guaranteed Rate Field. You got one recommendation here on baseball's opening day?
The salad.
Other than the salad.
You know what? There's this new Johnsonville sausage called the Slurve. It's just a real solid ballpark sausage.
This is exactly what Dave predicted you would have as your favorite.
Yeah.
All right. So the Slurve is what?
It's like a beer and cheddar encased meat, like a bratwurst, and then that's covered in caramelized onions, and then a deli style mustard on top of that. It works perfectly.
Did they go with the chocolate spam or not this year?
No, that's next year, I believe. My sources are telling me. So. Yeah.
Your sources are always accurate. Thank you, buddy.
All right, guys. Talk to you soon.
And who's that brought to us by?
Again, by Subway. And they are sponsoring Kevin's Reports. And again, check them out. The Subway restaurants, home of the new signature wraps.
We'll come back, get you more of these apology texts. But more importantly, we'll talk to Mr. Edelstein because he's going to tell us who's going to win the mayor's race. What is it, only 2 years away? Might as well jump to that. And also explain to us why the president's doctor is qualified to run the second largest bureaucracy in the government. At 7:33, back with more in a moment, 720 WGN.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
I'm a traveling man.
Eric Edelstein's here. Congratulations on your company.
Thanks.
And your election night.
Thanks.
The Attorney General's race appears to be the most interesting race we're going to have because how annoyed are we going to be with the governor's race by election day?
We're going to be looking for something
are
else
you
to talk
kidding
about.
Me?
Yeah.
But two young candidates mm-hmm. that both have interesting things to say that I don't know that they're going to differ a lot in their worldview, considering the Attorney General's scope of the job, but that should be an interesting campaign.
I think it should. I mean, I do think there'll be a different view. You know, we've talked about this, a lot of these state attorney generals have banded together to take on the Trump Justice Department. There have been some Republican attorney generals. I don't know where Erica Harrell will come down on that, but I think obviously Kwame Raoul has been pretty outspoken on taking on Jeff Sessions and Trump, so that'll be a point of difference. But look, you get two very dynamic, very smart candidates. They also both happen to be African American, running statewide for attorney general, which I think is unprecedented, certainly in this state. So it's going to be a fascinating race, and we will. The thing about these early primaries for Illinois is you have a long time till November, but it'll be interesting to see when both the governor's race and this one really get engaged.
You know what I like, too, about these two candidates? I know Kwame's been a state senator for a long time. I know Erica has been, you know, involved in politics as well a little bit. But they're still newer than, say, anybody else in Illinois politics.
They've got that new candidate smell.
Exactly. So I would hope, Eric, that we wouldn't see... I hate the commercials where he did this, she did this, right. she did this. You know, they don't. They have a little bit of a record, but not enough to smear, I don't think, early on. So maybe we actually can focus on issues with regard to this race.
Well, and it's something that's important to Senator Raul. I mean, he talked about it on election night, you know, and he said that, like, criminal justice reform isn't a soundbite issue. It's a complicated issue. Police reform isn't a soundbite issue. Gun violence isn't a soundbite issue. It's not just about getting guns. It's what's the, you know, what's the sort of social emotional learning plan for all the families that are fit. You know, a lot of these issues don't lend themselves to 30-second television ads, and he's hopeful that they can have a real discussion and a real debate.
And I also think, too, don't you, Steve, that both candidates want to work with the police because they see that the police are getting these criminals, but where we really have to see reform is with the gun laws. You
That's
know,
right.
for these repeat offenders should not be out on the streets.
We need gun laws that are tougher than New York. We need gun laws that, and by the way, legitimate card-carrying NRA members agree with this by a wide majority every time they're surveyed. So protect my Second Amendment rights by protecting others from going through the nightmare that we've gone through again and again in this country.
Yeah, it's a false dichotomy, false choice that's been set up by a very, very clever marketing campaign since the 70s by the NRA. Nobody on the left is talking about taking away the Second Amendment despite retired Supreme Court justices' op-ed. Nobody talks about that. You can balance constitutional rights, none of which are completely absolute. You don't have the absolute right to scream fire in a theater in your free speech rights. You don't have a right to have a bazooka or an RPG.
Or your own private tank.
Yeah, so there are limits to constitutional rights, and we can preserve those rights at the same time we're protecting people and keeping them safe. And it does become a bit of a choice between protecting guns or protecting kids, and it's that simple.
I would also just remind folks who are holding on as hard as they can against any change whatsoever, if you lose control as Republicans of the House and the Senate, you are asking for it. You're asking for Democrats to really put the pedal to the metal when it comes to gun laws that you wouldn't have to have hung over your head now if you would take a deep breath and agree. And your elected reps need to hear from you that you want sensible gun legislation now, in addition to upholding the laws that are already on the books and cutting down on these creeps that get busted and then released. I don't care how good an attorney you can hire.
I mean, the other thing I'd say, Steve, is, you know, we talk a lot about the cynicism of politics and a lot of disgust at what's going on. I do think, and we've talked about it on the show, what these young kids are doing is what American democracy is all about.
That's exactly right.
Absolutely.
And every change, every major social policy change has started with young people, whether it's women's right to vote, civil rights movement, Vietnam War, gay marriage, it comes from a younger cohort that's out there taking to the streets, and I think you're seeing that now on gun policy.
We'll come back, talk more in just a second, including Pat Brady's got an announcement. Pat Brady has an announcement to make. Seems like anytime Pat's on vacation with his kids, we interrupt him. We'll do that again in just a second.
And this also, is the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
It all starts today. Baseball's opening day. 1 week from today, home opener will be live at guaranteed rate when the Sox open against
the Detroit Tigers.
That's right.
Sunny and 70. The extended
is
wish,
that be, wow.
wishful.
That would be tremendous.
I don't know if that's true.
Well, let's just say it is.
Just wishful.
Let's just say it is. We'll get to Pat Brady in just a second. Eric Edelstein's here. Why are we talking so much about the mayor's race? Just because we are?
Gosh, because politics is a full-time sport in Chicago.
And it is 2 years?
A year from November. It's February.
February and April.
That's why it's quicker. Because soon as the November election's over, you're in the mayor's race big time. So,
can anybody beat Rahm?
Well, sure. I don't see it with Vallis and with Gary McCarthy. I mean, I don't. You know, every campaign is what's the narrative path for the candidate. And so, if you take two of the most major issues, education and crime, and you have two guys who, whether fairly or unfairly, I'm just saying in the context of the cauldron of a campaign, you can hang a lot of the problems of education around Vallis's neck. Mm-hmm. You can hang a lot of the crime problems, police problems around McCarthy's neck. Mm-hmm. I don't think that's how you beat an incumbent mayor. So,
Andrea brought up an interesting point. Those three, could they split the vote enough where somebody else could come in?
Sure.
And make a run.
Right. The classic Harold Washington situation, sure, where if you have, you know, two dominant white candidates or more, and right, you had a strong African American or Latino candidate who could put that coalition together, then you have a real chance.
What about our friend of the show,
Bridget?
Mm-hmm.
Possibly.
Bridget's talked about it. Yeah. Lori Lightfoot's talked about it. There are other candidates. Kurt Summers has talked about it. So I don't think we've seen the end of the number of candidates. But obviously, if you're the mayor, the more the merrier. Because, you know, it's the classic, you'll have the incumbent's vote, and then you'll have the anti-incumbent's vote. And the more the anti-incumbent vote gets split up, the better it is for the incumbent.
Rahm has a very strong support from the black community. But so does Paul Vallis and obviously Willie Wilson, too. So who would get, in your opinion, the black vote?
I think it depends on how the campaign plays out. And, you know, it's a long way to go. Obviously, the Laquan McDonald trial will, possibly the Van Dyke trial, I should
say. That'll be this summer, yeah.
May be happening this summer. Certainly will be happening before that. The outcome of that, I think, will have a major impact on what's going on in this city. So there's a lot of chapters to be played before figuring out exactly how it goes.
Fairly or unfairly, has Mayor Emanuel rehabbed himself from the low point of his image taking a beating?
You know, I think just by virtue of showing up for work, of being there every day and fighting the good fight, it shows
there's a lot of good news about the city.
There is a lot of good news. You know, there's good news in CPS. There's good news about test scores. You know, we just don't see a lot of it. And I think they could probably do a better job of getting some of those stories out. You know, I think ultimately lesser people might have caved under the heat that he had taken. That's not his mentality. I've known him a long, long time. He's a survivor. But I think this is going to be a tough campaign.
Pat Brady's on the phone. We're interrupting Pat's vacation with his kids again because that's how we roll. Good morning, Pat Brady.
Good morning.
I just wanted to get you on to make your announcement. Pat keyed me into something that's going to happen a couple of days ago now, but this announcement involves a very relevant topic, and that's the future of the Republican Party. So what is that announcement?
On May 22nd, I will be debating Dan Prost, kind of the leader of the people that put up the Genie Tank commercial to talk about what the future of the Republican Party should be, what it should look like, who we should try to appeal to. And I think it's a debate that both parties are having right now. The Democrats, do they want to go to the Bernie wing? And then our side, do we want to go to the hate wing? So we're going to have that debate. I think it'll be interesting.
City Club?
City Club at noon, Maggiano's. Yep. The City Club website if you want to come.
And we'll talk more about it coming up, but it's interesting the way you frame that, but certainly that's my take. Yeah. You know, are you going to go farther right, or are you going to try to save the Republican Party?
Yeah, and I think you saw even in the primary election results, these guys, the Policy Institute, Dan Prost, and these guys that sucked up a lot of donor money and ran these hate ads, they lost all but one race. And that's the debate. Where do we want to go as a party? That doesn't work. And I think it's time for the people, at least the way I view what the party stands for, to be heard and not so much noise from the far right that seems to grab most of the attention.
And the Lincoln Forum information continues to with various updates on the events you guys are doing. What's that website?
LincolnForum.org. We have Bob Schillerstrom coming in May 3rd to talk about the tolls and the highway. And then on June 3rd, we actually have Brett Baer from Fox News.
Oh, okay, very
and then
cool.
Hopefully, if we can get Eric to agree, maybe we can have an Attorney General's debate.
That'd be great.
That would be great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That'd be a big draw.
Yeah, for sure.
Yes, we're going to have an active schedule lined up, so it's all good.
All right. Get back to your vacation, buddy. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, guys. See
you. That's Pat Brady, and, you know, friend of the show, obviously. All right. So yesterday, before we run out of time here, the president decided to get rid of Mr. Shulkin and nominate as his replacement his doctor. Dr. Ronnie Jackson. Now, aside from the fact that Dr. Ronnie Jackson said the president weighs 225 pounds, he appears by all accounts to be a fair, bipartisan, well-qualified, medically skilled individual. That doesn't qualify you to run the second largest bureaucracy in the government. Is this worry too soon because the Senate Confirmation Committee will say you're not qualified, or is this legitimate concern?
Well, I think it's legitimate concern. I think he had Ron Jackson had two things going for him. One, square jaw, which, as the president said, he looks the part, which in Donald Trump's world matters more than anything else. And the second is Donald Trump needed to change the subject from the story about granting pardons to Manafort and Flynn that was sort of dominating news coverage. And, you know, Trump's a master at trying to change the subject. So while I think that he was going to replace the VA director, this was good timing for Jackson to get appointed. But I think it'll be an interesting Senate confirmation. And, you know, the VA is a huge department, a really, really instrumental department. And I'm not sure the White House doctor, just because he has a square jaw and changed the news subject, is the right guy.
Right. I don't know that this won't be a quick no. And the reason I say that is not because I know the guy's qualified or unqualified, but simply because there's very few things as sensitive as veterans care. And once this is aired out in a confirmation hearing that's going to get a lot of publicity, there's going to be a lot of senators on both sides who are going to be fighting for veterans, not fighting for the guy that Trump would like to be in charge of an organization that still needs tremendous overhaul.
That's right. But I would say, and this is the problem, and this is the problem of the chaos of the Trump administration, is there's so many fires to put out, and the media just kind of jumps around from one to the other. And I think if we're talking about who's the head of the Veteran Affairs, and you're not talking about the Russia probe, and you're not talking about John Bolton and, you know, the dangers of him being the National Security Advisor. So it's just, it's a whack-a-mole administration. You don't know where to look for the next crisis.
Be on page three between Stormy Daniels and when Mueller's next indictment is going to come down.
Listen, your brother is a big Hollywood mogul. You know the television business inside and out. I don't know how Stormy Daniels doesn't have a series offer by now. 22 million people watch the 60 Minutes interview. And in the current splintered media world we live in, that is a huge number.
Now, you know, Steve, she had one of the great quotes of all time back when she was talking about running for the Senate. Do you remember this?
I do remember she considered it, yes.
So they asked her, if she became a United States Senator, would she give up adult filmmaking? And she said to the interviewer, "Honey, there's only two things that would make me give up adult films, gravity and HD."
That is a great line. That's a
one of the great lines of all time.
That's a tremendous line.
She was already on my best of list.
On your list.
Yeah, that's not bad. Good to see you. Your company again is?
AL Media.
AL Media, the official AL Media of the Steve Cochran Show, where this is Chicago's very own.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world.
Some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you?
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, Hollywood. You know I love you more than when I should. Yeah, Hollywood. Well, kiss me, kiss me.
And good morning to Dean Richards. Legendary Dean Richards joins us now.
Oh, stop.
We're lucky to have Dean Richards on the program.
Oh, stop. Oh, you.
And I'm not just saying that because he hasn't officially confirmed for our New Year's Eve show yet. I'm just saying it because it's true.
That's correct.
Texters are texting in this morning because I accidentally smacked my door into the door of the car next to me yesterday.
Uh-oh.
It's our promotional guru, Tabitha's car, and she was nice enough to say, no, I don't think so. That dent was already there.
Hmm.
So, but, you know, publicly apologizing for that, and I'm just saying that maybe we all have something to apologize for in this Holy Week.
Hmm.
847. I apologize for predicting you'd be fired on your 500th show, but I can't be wrong by that much.
Wow.
6-3, I apologize for unplugging all the computers at work, but not shutting them down first by accident. Gee, hopefully I haven't caused any damage. Ooh, that's cryptic. Cryptic. Mean. 224, I apologize for being unattractive. It's not my fault. My grandma could have married me better.
Aw.
That's kind of odd. 773, can I just do a coverall? I apologize. Just wants to cover everything. Just right. Ooh, there.
That's nice.
Right? 773, I apologize to my husband for saying yes when he asked me to marry him. 43 years later, we hardly coexist.
Mm.
Well, that's sad.
You gotta make up.
630, you ought to apologize to Kevin for all the times you called him disappointing Kevin in the past.
Remember that? That was his moniker for a long time.
Well, you earned it back then. And I do apologize to Kevin.
And then I started to call him Loser Kevin.
That's right, because you didn't know the
nickname. I couldn't remember what you were calling him, so I just started picking up a whole vocabulary of other very degrading descriptions.
Right, and he just went, okay. 847, I apologize to Steve Bartman, signed Moises Alou.
Oh, yeah.
And then 312, I'd like to apologize to every family whose kids I taught before I had my own. I was way too smug for somebody whose two teenage boys now have done every embarrassing thing you can think of, from sex to drugs to alcohol to bad grades to vaping to crashing a car. They've done it, and I'm sorry. And then finally, one that leads into you, Dean, at 619. I want to apologize to Beyonce.
Oh, for biting her? Is that the biter?
Who signed the name?
It's anonymous.
Oh, see, we still don't know who's the biter.
I thought it was the blondie actress who sort of admitted it.
Sarah Foster?
No, yeah, is that her name, Sarah Foster?
No, she said that, she didn't deny it. She just said that she's flattered that anyone thinks that she could have gotten close enough. I've got a critical eye on everybody right now. I've got a whole... Have you ever seen, like, on CSI, where they take a whole wall in a room and they have pictures?
Yeah, oh, yeah, yeah.
And lines pointing from this person to that person. I've got that set up, trying to figure
out. So you have a murder board.
I do have a murder... I guess that's what it's called. I have a murder board of who bit Beyonce.
It amazes me that we can get leaks out of the White House... about 100 times faster than we can get the truth on who bit Beyonce.
Yeah.
Since when does Hollywood not leak? I mean, come on.
This is the power of Beyonce.
Dean has, like, masking tape on the WGN-TV newsroom floor, you know, for the outlines of...
Oh, he's got a recreation?
Recreating the scene where everybody was. Jennifer Aniston was over there. Lena Dunham was there. Okay, Lena Dunham was in the room.
Oh, she probably did it then.
She says that while she understands that she is the queen of I probably did it, she says she did not do it. Shirley MacLaine was there.
Well, it could have been one of Shirley MacLaine's spirits. You know, one of her past lives.
I love the response, though, of the Shirley MacLaine people. They issued a response to the allegation that the always unpredictable Shirley might have done it. They said, no, Shirley did not bite anything. For God's sake, she's 83 years old.
Well, that when you brought up her name, that's what struck me as curious, is what is Shirley MacLaine doing at a Beyonce party?
Don't know.
Just seems like an odd fit.
Maybe she was hungry.
We do have some other old Hollywood names that have come up. You tell me if any of these are subjects of suspicion in your world. Nipsey Russell?
No, he would be a little too dead, too.
Buddy Hackett?
also dead.
Shecky Green?
Nope.
Any members of the old Rat Pack?
Nope.
I don't know. Sinatra looks shifty to me.
I don't know how there was so much, let's just say, unique personalities in this room. Frances McDormand was there.
Is that right?
Frances McDormand was there also at
with
the party.
Beyonce?
And her response to this was, seriously, again, not denying.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah, and she's goofy enough, she probably would bite her.
Yeah.
Queen Latifah?
Nah, it's not Queen Latifah.
Queen Latifah said no comment.
But it's not her.
That's shady to me.
It's not her.
Can't they get, like, the impressions? Like, can't they do teeth impressions, Dean?
The dental impressions?
Yes.
Well, you'd have to have access to Beyonce's face.
Well, Dean's got a chalk wall, or he's got the wall up.
Well, we can inquire about that. This did happen last December, so I'm guessing that...
Maybe it's healed by now?
It's possible. I don't think they actually drew blood or anything, but...
Well, kids, what have we learned here during this spring break week for so many of you? Don't bite Beyonce.
Yeah. Don't bite anybody.
Oh, yeah, that too. But I thought we'd go with don't bite Beyonce as the larger lesson.
Can you think of anybody that you would want to bite?
Not in that manner.
You're really happy to see somebody.
Yeah.
You're, a fan, or maybe it's, beloved.
No, is it greeting? Of course not.
Family or friend that you haven't seen in a long time.
Yeah, what are you, a schnauzer? Don't bite her. No, that's ridiculous.
You've seen little babies where they're so cute, you just want to...
Right. But don't bite people. That's our lesson of the day. Lollapalooza lineup's been revealed. Pretty Woman news, Amy Schumer news, and we'll come back. More of Dean in just a second.
You'll be calling his name. Oh, 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 oh. Dean Richards, the entertainment editor, Channel 972. Oh,
oh, oh, oh, oh, oh. 824, back to Dean. All right, so the Daily Lollapalooza lineup is out.
Yeah, they
got some pretty good headliners here.
They do. They announced the names of the performers like last week, but today they finally announced who would be performing on which days. And so now we know that Thursday, August 2nd, Arctic Monkeys will be the headliners. Travis Scott, Khalid, Galantis, I know one of your favorites, A Boogie What a Hoodie,
mm-hmm.
will be all be on Thursday. Friday, the headliner will be one Mr. Bruno Mars, probably the one celebrity that Steve is mistaken for more often than
I do get that a lot.
Anyone else, because he's also 24 karat gold.
There's no question about it. It's funny because on any given day, I'll either get Bruno Mars or Angela Lansbury. Those are the two that I often get.
Depends on the sun.
Yeah.
The National will perform that day. Post Malone, Tyler, the Creator, Walk the Moon, among others. Saturday, August the 4th, The Weeknd will headline along with Vampire Weekend. So you got your regular weekend.
And then your Vampire Weekend.
And you got your Vampire Weekend, both on Saturday, August the 4th. On Sunday, August 5th, Jack White will headline. And Lil Uzi Vert will be there. And Portugal the Man. Oh, and Cigarettes After Sex, I see, Sunday.
There you go.
Yeah, Cigarettes After Sex.
So get your tickets because, stunningly, there's still a few left there.
Well, the four-day passes finally just sold out. In years past, they would sell out within an hour or so. It's taken almost a week to sell out all the four-day passes, which means now, today, they will put on sale the one-day tickets. Those will go on sale at 10 o'clock this morning. The one-day ticket will cost $120 plus taxes and fees, which is also the name of a band there, by the way.
And, you know, we're going to play, when we get closer to Lollapalooza, the annual game, Lollapalooza band I was in, or not a band at all.
Right.
Let me just throw a few at you here. Bucketball.
Band you were in.
It's not actually a band.
No.
Not or a game.
Or a game. Nope. That's absolutely right. Could you hold my purse?
I know, but what's the name of
the
band?
That's actually the name of the band.
Is band you were in.
That's exactly right.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Petite Biscuit.
I believe that's a Lollapalooza band.
Oh, very good. I'll give you one more. Scratchy and the Itches.
That's a band you're still in.
Right? Yes, as a matter of fact, we're playing Friday night. Very good, Dave.
It's an Easter tradition.
It is. Scratchy and the Itches every Holy Week. Pretty Woman, the musical.
Opened last night officially in Chicago. This is the musical stage adaptation of the 1990 movie that starred Julia Roberts and Richard Gere. The musical is very nostalgic. It, you know, it tries to hit as many of the familiar points as possible from the motion picture, while at the same time, you know, also moves its own story along, its own narrative along. And I think story-wise, there's a little too much going on here. This just seems like a show that really needs to be trimmed down a lot before it goes to New York. But the performances are quite good. The music written by Bryan Adams and Jim Vallance are very nice. Many of them are just, you know, scream of Bryan Adams ballads. But there's lots of different kinds of music in the show, which is very nice. I think if they trim the show down, it'll be very pleasant. It's a nice show. It's not a great show. There's not like a moment in this show that you're going to, you know, go home whistling a particular song. It's a nice show. I give it sort of like a Dean's List C+, something like that, I guess.
Not great.
It's not great. It's okay. But it's definitely not great. It's going to be here until April 15th
okay.
at the Oriental Theater downtown.
And it won't make you have the good feeling you had when you left the movie?
I think the biggest thing when I left is, you know, when you got done watching the original movie, there was a sweetness to that story. There was a heart to the story. You felt for the characters, and I'm not really sure that that's accomplished in this because there's so much going on in the story. It's like they threw so much stuff into it. I think at this point maybe trying to figure out what's going to stick when it finally goes to New York.
Yeah, figure it out.
Not uncommon that they will world premiere a show here, and then when it gets to New York, it's practically an entirely different show.
Is there any possibility, you might be a little biased, considering for a period of time you were as well a hooker down in your luck?
Maybe I'm a little too close to this whole story. I remember the first time I met you and you opened that necklace case.
That's right.
And
that's right.
I reached for it and you snapped it shut.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
And
Steve cracked up and giggled with laughter.
Right. Right.
Broke three of my knuckles. That wasn't nobody
it's
ever.
It's not a great way
that.
To start our friendship, I'll tell you that right now.
Yep.
Let's see. We're getting a lot of texts in about who was the biter of Beyonce's face. Did John Voight do it?
Voight?
Did John Voight do it? Hashtag Seinfeld. Who was last seen in the corner of the room? There's your biter. That's a 630. Dean brought this up initially from the 619. Was Mike Tyson there?
No.
Sarah Michelle Gellar was the biter. Hello, Buffy.
It's that bad.
Vampire, yep.
Yep. And then this one, which doesn't seem to relate to the story. Hi, Dean. Mel Gibson. Still thinking whether I'm going to apologize. I'll get back to you soon.
I get the random texts like that from him every so often, which is odd because I've actually interviewed him a couple of times since the famous interview that I did with him.
Yeah, why I keep texting you.
And we actually get along quite well now, but I still get texts from him occasionally like that one.
I think he feels guilty. Amy Schumer and A.D. Bryant in town for what?
They were in town yesterday because they're in a new movie together called I Feel Pretty.
A.D. Bryant, by the way, SNL, for those of you trying to figure out who she is.
Love her on SNL.
She's
by
great.
The way, can I tell you?
Yeah, she's great.
And she is a former Second City alum, Improv Olympic, Annoyance Theater. She did the whole comedy circuit here in Chicago. Very much considers Chicago her home, as she told me when we sat down yesterday.
I so feel like it was yesterday that I was at Second City and living in Lincoln Square and going to, you know, North and Wells every day. So it feels weird to be back here in this capacity because this is home to me 100%. And I find myself wanting my, like, sandwiches that I like to eat here and all
what
the
were your
things.
Sandwiches that you like to
oh
eat?
My gosh, I always used to go to Pick Me Up Cafe in Wrigleyville. That was like my standby.
So it was fun driving in through the city with her. She's like, that's my dorm.
I know.
That's where we would go. We were drunk. And I was like, oh.
Amy pretending like she was paying attention the whole
fully.
Time.
I was Googling myself. Yeah. No, actually, I was going, what does this corner mean to you? What is this corner? I was hoping for more dirt, but it was mostly just sweet and authentic.
Yeah, I don't think you get too much dirt on an A.D. Bryant. She is actually kind of a sweetheart, very lovable. And Amy Schumer, you know, just got married about a month ago. Surprise wedding. Nobody
surprised knew. To her, too. She didn't know they were going to do it.
Surprised to him.
I'll bet the groom was surprised, though. During the wedding vows, apparently Amy was really, really, really blunt about certain sexual things during the wedding vows in front of her family and friends. And she told me about that.
Congratulations on your marriage.
Yeah, thank you.
Also, which is cool. I was reading about your wedding. Is it true that you were telling sex jokes during the vows?
They weren't jokes. Like, they were vows, you know? And everyone tells you, you won't have sex anymore. You will fully stop. And so part of my vows was like, I'm going to really try to have that not be true. And I thought this is an important thing to vow because there's so few things in life that are fun and free.
And the honesty is.
It was sweet. And I almost never charge him.
That's sweet.
You should text me what we bleeped there because that was the longest bleep I've ever heard.
Yeah. We timed it. That was the longest bleep I've ever had to put into a celebrity interview.
Yeah.
Very. My mother would have fallen to the ground if she was at a wedding ceremony and the bride said what Amy said.
I think we've all been to those weddings where the best man toast is offensive to the older folks at the wedding. It's rare when the bride does it during the service.
During the actual ceremony itself.
Yeah,
it was pretty graphic.
All right, go ahead, text us. Thanks, buddy.
Bye.
That's Dean. Back with your news next.
Thank you.
8:43, Coach Q, sponsored by Hooters, America's Wing Joint. Good morning, Coach. How you doing? Whoop, Coach, do we have you? I don't know why that didn't work. Let me try this one more time. Always appreciate Coach Q's time, including the time it takes to get him on the air. Coach, do we have you?
Yes, we are.
Here. How about that, man? How about that? It was like the power play earlier in the year. We just couldn't find the back of the net.
It's starting to go a little better now.
Yes, it is. Hey, I want to talk about Seabrook for a second. 13 years in the league, and in the last 12 years, he's missed a total of 15 games. He'll play his 1,000th regular season game tonight. At the age of 32, that's a lot of miles on those legs, but it's a heck of an accomplishment and a nice honor for Brent Seabrook.
It really is. He's done a great job, and you look at what he's done over his career and being not missing games. Everybody's got issues as far as health, something nagging, something bugging him. Siebes, you never know what he's dealing with. He's always ready to play. He's the most vocal guy on the bench, in the locker room, ready to compete to the next level. So you got to love what he brings to your team. Great leader, and 1,000 games is a great compliment with one team right from the start, and a lot of success in between. So it's a big night for him, and well-earned and well-deserved.
Only the fifth Blackhawk ever to get to that mark of 1,000 games. That is a lot of punishment, but that's also a lot of good times. That's three cups, that's a lot of wins, and that's a lot of leadership from Brent Seabrook. So, as you said, Coach, well-deserved, and it should be a lot of fun for people at the game tonight.
Yes, it will, and and it's a great honor to do it in one team, one in the tradition of how many Blackhawks have played here, and to be fifth to be accomplishing that goal or that objective, pretty amazing, and should be proud of it.
Third among defensemen, and do you think we'll see too many guys get to 1,000 games with one franchise in the future, given free agency and given player movement now in the NHL?
And the salary cap.
A lot of reasons why the special guys that are probably the ones that are drafted high, that are top players, the organization finds the way to keep those guys in one place to be the ones that do it, because it's hard to, with the player movement and the cap, like you say, and when teams have success, it's a all of a sudden a lot of guys start moving around a bit, like we've seen here. It's tough to be in one place, but it's a it's a great compliment to have all that success and be a part of it and continue on like Siebes has here in one place. But it's we also got Dunks just right behind him shortly. Going to make the same accomplishments, which is pretty amazing when you got a pair of defensemen in the same situation that been a part of it and shared it and played a lot of games together, a lot of minutes together. So that's it'll be pretty fun when Dunks gets that accomplishment as well.
A lot of games, a lot of wins, and championships as well. Let's go to the other end of the spectrum because you have some new blood on hand. And what can Blackhawks fans expect from Dylan Sekura?
Well, Dylan is a, he's got some skill and, he's got some quickness to his game. He's one of those guys that handles the puck, sees plays, makes plays, and I think the offensive side of the game is his strength, and I'll be looking forward to seeing how he handles the situation at a higher pace here today. But it's a, had a lot of success with his line scoring. They had success on the power play. He'll get a little exposure to that here today as well. So it's a, looking forward to seeing him play. He really improved each and every year since he's been drafted here, and good progression to this season as well there at Northeastern, and I'm sure he's excited as heck to get his first NHL game here tonight.
By the way, for folks wondering who the other four were who have achieved 1,000 games, Blackhawks who have achieved 1,000 games, Bob Murray, Eric Nestorenko, Bobby Hall, and a great Stan Mikita will be tough to catch ever. 1,394 games as a Chicago Blackhawk. How about that? That's a lot of hockey, man.
A lot of games. A lot of hockey.
Now, on the flip side of this, Coach, and I know you know this number, but is and you got some more work to do this season, but while we reflect on this season and where you guys go over the summer and into next year, by Friday, 10 players will have made their NHL debut with the Hawks this year. How about that number?
I didn't hear that number. What was the number?
10 players will have made their NHL debut with the Hawks this year.
And I go back over the last 5 or 6 years, it's almost a comparable number. And number of guys that coming into our organization getting a chance to play this year. It speaks volumes for finding players and giving opportunity as well. Rockford has really had a situation where they've been a great pipeline for us, and this year they've got some guys that have earned the opportunity to play some games based on how well they played down there. But we've had some guys at the beginning of the season, we know eventually they're going to get their turn up here, and it's just a matter of when. But the depth is something you need organizationally, because of the position we're in with the cap, and we need new guys to not only come in and play for us, but we need new guys to come in and start making contributions, where all of a sudden they're going to be important players as the season progresses.
We talked about Sakura. You have Blake Hillman, a defenseman from the University of Denver. I don't know if you're planning to play him tonight, or I know you're at Colorado tomorrow night. Is there an advantage either way, college versus non-college players coming into the league?
Hello?
Is there an advantage either way, college versus non-college players coming into the league, was Dave's question.
Hello?
No, I don't think he can hear us.
Yep. Yep. All right. Well, listen, it just goes with the flow. Thank you, Coach. We're not going to try to reconnect again because he's got places to go and stuff to do.
Mm-hmm. Got a game to get ready for.
Thank him. And it just goes with the territory this year, doesn't it? It's going to be an interesting offseason. It's going to be an interesting Blackhawks convention. And before long, it'll be we don't want to rush October. We're barely into spring.
No.
But when we get back to October, the Hawks have a lot to prove. You know, I think we all went in, certainly I did, we all went into this season after the disappointment in the sweep last year in Nashville, where we all thought, well, listen, they're going to be so fired up. They're just going to fly through the league this year. Not only did it not happen when Corey Crawford got injured, it went to show how big a deal it is to have a number one goalie and a goalie of Crawford's stature in the net. It wasn't all the goalie's fault, but certainly we needed Crawford much more than a lot of people probably realized. So you chalk this year up to you don't have it all figured out. Not that the Hawks ever claimed they did, but certainly I had gotten cocky. I had gotten used to winning. I had gotten spoiled. And now as Hawks fans, we look forward to next season because they do have something to prove now. They're coming back next year, and they literally, for the first time in many years, have to prove that they are still capable of winning and getting back to a Stanley Cup.
Steve, this was a 50-win team last year.
Yep.
That got swept in the playoffs. I think we all just assumed they'll figure it out. They always do, and it didn't happen this year. You mentioned goaltending, and they made another move in that area as they recalled goaltender Colin Delia from Rockford, and they're going to play him, I think, maybe tomorrow night against Colorado. We'll see him. So
okay.
You have this influx of youth. They've had it all year, but now late in the season with some of these college guys coming in, they'll get a chance. They'll get a look-see, and we'll kind of look towards the future.
The Blues are the final home game. That's next Friday night. After the Colorado game tomorrow night, they have one in St. Louis and one here against the Blues, and then they're done.
Unbelievable.
Yeah,
they play at Winnipeg to end the season next weekend. After that, a home and home with St. Louis next week. So,
texter from the 773, Brent Seabrook and his then very pregnant, beautiful wife took time out to shake my 13-year-old son's hand and talk to him during the celebrations of the first Stanley Cup. The glow my son had after that was fantastic. Great hockey player, better man. Isn't that nice?
I think that really kind of speaks to why this team has been successful for so long, because I think you'd find a lot of stories like that about a lot of the guys on the Blackhawks roster for the past 10 years.
Right, right, right. Good guys doing a good thing.
Yep.
What are you apologizing for? What are you apologizing for? That's the question I asked earlier. 847, I apologize for putting diesel fuel into the lawnmower. My husband wouldn't talk to me for 2 months.
Not good. That's not good, right?
It's not great. But okay. I mean, if you don't know, you don't know.
I wouldn't know.
Right? 630, I apologize that I'm perfect and I make everyone else look bad. I think Bertrand sent that.
Yeah. Okay, we all go through that.
773, we got a bunch of these. I apologize for voting for Trump.
We did get a bunch of those,
yes.
Huh?
Wow. CLTV joins us. Hi, everybody. It's CLTV.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
My power's turned up. Starting right now. I'll be strong. I'll be strong.
9:10. You know, the other day we had on a gold medal winner from the U.S. women's hockey team. You know what I'm talking about?
Kendall Coyne.
Kendall Coyne, yeah. And the Blackhawks have been good partners as well. And I said, man, you can imagine how many young girls this should be exciting for, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, with the recent gold medal win by the USA women's hockey team, got a timely story for you. The Glacier Ice Arena in Vernon Hills now has 7 girls from 9 to 13 playing alongside the boys in the travel program.
Ooh.
And we got 3 of the Glacier girls who are joining us now. Let me start with the youngest of the 3, and that's Kaylee. Good morning, Kaylee.
Good morning.
How are you?
Good.
Are you on spring break?
Yes.
Would you be up at this hour, or did you get up to be on the radio with me?
Yes.
That's why. Okay, sorry about that. Well, what got you excited about hockey, Kaylee?
My brother started playing, and I watched him, and I really wanted to play.
Cool. Do you play other sports?
Yeah.
What else do you play?
Soccer, tap ballet, softball,
When are you home, Kaylee? It sounds like you're gone playing sports every day. Well, you don't have to give me your exact schedule. Hold on, because we want to say hi to the other girls as well. Andrea, say hi to 11-year-old Macy.
Hey, Macy, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. Hey, Macy, I want to know what's the easiest and what's the hardest part of playing ice hockey?
The easiest part is probably learning new skills, because I'm a fast learner, but the hardest part is probably getting to hockey, because it shows up a day before, the schedule shows up a day before it actually happens.
Right, yeah. Right, and you got to arrange transportation. Yeah. That's a big part of the equation. Stand by a second, Macy. I want to come back to you as well. Dave, say hi to Coach Charisse, who joins us now to explain all of this. If I can get her on the air. Good morning, Coach.
Hi,
there
Coach. How are you?
I'm great this morning. I'm hanging with my favorite gals of Glacier.
It sounds like you have some terrific young ladies on your team.
They are terrific.
Where are their skills at this age level? I mean, how developed are they in terms of their skating, in terms of their shot, all that sort of hockey stuff?
Our girls are very dedicated. Usually their schedules allow them to practice once a week, and they play games once a week. However, our girls spend a lot of time at different camps and clinics, and they do a lot of off-ice training to help them really develop their skills and get stronger every week. So you can typically find the girls here 5-6 times a week, which, like I said, really shows their dedication.
What about you, Coach Charisse? Where'd you get your skills?
Growing up, I played on all boys' teams and just had such a great time having the opportunity to play every week. Glacier wasn't built when I was younger, so I had to travel about an hour away to play, but it was all worth it because I loved it.
Have you seen any impact of the women's gold winning yet?
Yes, we just started our spring hockey season, and we're really excited about seeing more girls trying the sport, even older girls such as 12, 13, 14 years old who have never skated before but have just come to the rink and said, we would love to try it. What can we do? What do we need to know in order to be on a team?
That's very cool. Give us the scouting report on Macy and Kaylee.
Macy and Kaylee are phenomenal skaters. The best part about both of them is that they're really tough. They're scrappy players. They love being on the ice, and their enthusiasm always shows, whether it's practice or a game.
Let's get them back in here. And, Andre, I don't think you met Kaylee. Say hi to Kaylee.
Hey, Kaylee. How are you doing?
Good.
Kaylee, talk a little bit about your team. It seems like you girls all really enjoy playing with each other and spending time together. So let's talk about you and some of your teammates, how you guys all get along so well.
Is it hard for you because you're one of the younger girls, or do the older girls take care of you, or how does that work?
I'm on a boys team.
Right. Well, you notice I wasn't giving the boys credit for helping. Macy's laughing.
Yeah. Macy's like, we'll take care of those boys.
Macy, if Kaylee needs something, I'm sure you're there for her.
Well,
I'm actually not on her team.
Oh, I thought you guys were on the same team. That's my mistake.
No, they do it in different, like, ages. Like, I'm a peewee and she's a mite.
Ah, oh, yeah. Makes sense.
Mm-hmm. My stepson, Patrick, plays, he's a squirt, and he plays, there's girls on his team, and I love when girls score on him.
Yeah.
Right. Well, that's a great way to learn about life.
We had a girl on his team this year, Lola. She had a couple hat tricks this year.
Is that right?
Yeah, she's really dominated. It's pretty amazing. So, and Alexandra, she was really good. She has great presence on the ice. A lot of good girls on our team.
Well, Kaylee and Macy, I'm proud of you guys. You're doing a great thing, and you're showing the way for future girls to get involved, because you guys can do anything you want.
Yeah, thanks.
Hey, do you girls think your equipment smells?
Mine really does, because I'm on the ice 2 times a week.
Yeah, it doesn't dry. It just stays sweaty. And
did you know you could stink like that, Macy?
No.
Yeah. How about you, Kaylee? You probably don't stink, do you?
No, I'm on the
phone. Oh, we got a bad phone on there.
Uh-oh.
All right, girls, thank you very much. And, Coach, keep up the great work. You're really paving the way here, because these girls are doing what they want to do, and every girl should have the same opportunity.
Exactly. Thank you so much.
Appreciate you being on.
Thanks, Coach. How cool is that?
That's great. It's
fantastic, because Kendall was saying that, you know, even when she was little and playing, there were not many girls in the sport, and now... You know, there's just so many girls.
Kendall Coyne.
Yeah, Kendall Coyne. Right. Yeah.
Yeah, and it'd be great if we had even a bronze medal phone system, but apparently we don't today.
Right.
Oh, but thank you to Kaylee Dunford, Macy Zilligan. And we want to say hi to Kyla Schneider as well. We couldn't connect with Kyla.
Mm-hmm.
And Coach Charisse.
Yeah.
Just a small example of what's happening at the Glacier Ice Arena in Vernon Hills. Good work by you guys as well. Today is National Vietnam War Veterans Day. So if you know a Vietnam War vet, please say hi to them. Stop down and remember them for the great sacrifice they made. There were 58,000 killed, never to return. And National Vietnam War Veterans Day recognized the military service of these great soldiers. By the way, if you know a family member of a Vietnam vet, thank them as well, because their sacrifice is monumental as well.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
I like digging holes and hiding things inside them. When I grow old, I hope I won't forget to find them. Because I've got memories and travel like gypsies in the night.
Ah, they don't write them like that anymore. I like digging holes and putting things inside them.
Someone to tear it down, then pack it up in boxes.
Who is this again?
Alice Merton.
That's it.
Like
good song. Speaking of records, we'll get to You Must Pick One in just a second. This is where I give you three things.
Cool.
I may give you six or seven here, but you have to pick one song to choose from. We got a lot of stuff we don't have time to get to, but you pick one story, and then we go ahead and do the story. Texters, meanwhile, they're telling us what they'd apologize for. This is Easter week, of course, and this Confession Thursday. I didn't want to step on the church with Confession Wednesday. It's Confession Thursday. It's on the heels of last week. Who owes you an apology? This is who do you owe an apology to? 708. Hey, Steve, different question. Next week, maybe ask, who would you like to bite if Beyonce's not available? Is there a celebrity you'd like to bite?
Oh.
I don't know.
Bite? No.
No, because you don't know where they've been.
Yeah, that's the reason.
727. I apologize for leaving all my family and friends years ago to move to Florida. Not. Gotta go. I got a tea time.
Oh.
847. I'm sorry I didn't vote in the last presidential election. Look what we got. Got a lot of anti-Trump stuff this morning. And that's not me looking for it. Mm-hmm. That's just a fact. 312. Every day before I leave for work, I just say, I love you, I'm wrong, I'm sorry, and later on I'll repeat.
That's perfect. That's the way to do it, right?
847, I apologize for being happy that people are apologizing for voting for Trump. There's hope for us yet.
Yeah.
Those are just a few more of the apologies that continue to come in. All right, you must pick one.
Okay.
All right, give me a few here. How many nannies does Kylie Jenner need? Okay, keep that story in mind. The space station is going to crash this weekend. Would you like to know where?
Yeah, I would, because I heard the story and I want to know where it's gone.
Why you haven't picked? You can't pick yet? I'm not quite done.
Okay.
How much money did Jeff Bezos lose yesterday in one day because of Donald Trump's comments about Amazon? One day.
I don't want to feel bad about myself.
One day. 17 things skyrocketing in popularity on Amazon, speaking of Amazon. Or finally, the most popular song the year you were born.
That. Oh, but then we have to tell the year we're born.
We can write it down.
Okay.
Yeah. Why? 1997 wasn't that long
Thanks,
ago.
Thanks, Dave.
So you're voting for that. Dave, your vote? You want the space station.
I want the space station.
Okay. Yeah, Super Joe?
Yeah, space station.
Okay. Sandberg?
Birthday song.
The song.
Birthday. Okay.
Mary Vanderbilt.
What was the first one again?
I don't remember.
Kylie Jenner's
nannies.
Kylie Jenner.
What was the second one?
The space station. Space station. Oh, go with that.
I thought there was another one in between. I'll do the space station.
All right. Yes. Oh, then that's.
Oh,
the
you
one.
Know Grzanich, yeah.
I want the birthday song one.
Stevie, woohoo!
All right, I'm going to do both.
Okay.
And Dave and Mary Vanderbilt, get ready to be depressed. This is from Billboard magazine. Billboard magazine started in 1968.
That's the point. We're off the hook. So you guys are off the hook.
That's the farthest back they go.
Thanks for pointing me out, Steve.
That's my year.
All right, Steve, what year were you born?
The 68.
Hey Jude by the Beatles.
Oh, that's good.
We used to dance to that.
Don't say the year out loud, but okay. That's the year.
Andrea Darlis, in your year?
Wait, why can't why do you? Why,
oh, come
wait.
On. Yeah.
Because she's a girl. The Way We Were at Barbra Streisand.
Okay. Wait, can I give you another year just in case?
Rocking. Just totally.
Here, I'll give
rocking.
You another year just
gonna,
to throw off.
She's going to throw the 80s watch.
The other year you just gave me was the first time ever I saw your face, Roberta Fleck.
Okay.
Joe, what year were you born?
1987.
No, seriously, what year were you born?
Oh, my gosh. I have like clothes from the 80s.
Same as Amy Cochran.
I have kids that age.
1987, Joe, the number one song the year you were born, Walk Like an Egyptian from the Bengals.
That was my favorite song. Oh, my God. I love
Can you do the dance, Joe?
All the old
I've never
words,
even
Joe?
Heard that song.
Oh, Andrea and I can do it.
You really don't know Walk Like an Egyptian?
No, I've heard it.
Okay, I was going to say. Sandberg.
1976.
1976. Let's go backwards here to 1976. By the way, one year was My Sharona by The Knack.
Oh, yeah.
I've never seen a picture of Sharona before. No wonder he wrote a song about her. 1976. Oh, I couldn't stand this song. Silly Love Songs, Paul McCartney and Wings.
Silly Love Songs.
It's the worst.
It's
a terrible record.
That's a good song.
It's a terrible
Cheesy.
Song.
It's almost as bad as Ebony and Ivory.
We had so much crappy music in the 70s.
That's terrible. And my parents are big Beatles fans, and they hate Paul McCartney's, like... those individual songs that came after he was a Beatle.
Oh, he had a couple good songs with Wings.
That's terrible.
But that one wasn't one of them.
That's embarrassing. I want a new song.
Oh, you pick another year.
You think Joe's song?
Do my sister's year, 77. Is
1977.
That a good one?
Tonight's Tonight, Rod Stewart. It's a good song.
I like that.
That is a good song.
Good song.
I'm switching.
Stay away from my window. Stay away from my back door, too. Disconnect the telephone wire.
Oh, yeah.
Relax, baby.
Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about.
Can you do like 80, 81? Those were such good years for music.
They were?
Yeah.
1980, Call Me by Blondie.
Yes. Yeah,
1981, Betty Davis Eyes by Kim Carnes.
Oh, love those songs.
This is Billboard? Steve?
Yes, Billboard magazine.
Okay, well, I found the Billboard list for the year I was born.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, they were around.
Well, they didn't go back before 1968 on my list. Yeah. What was yours?
Cherry Pink and Apple Blossom White. I've never heard of that. But number two was Rock Around the Clock, Bill Haley and the Comets.
Man, you're old.
Okay, could have just not said
anything. What was the song that the fiddler did in the town square that year?
If I Were a Rich Man. Diva, 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 diva. What about 1961, Dave?
1961.
Wait, he's unrolling another scroll.
The parchment keeps getting stuck.
Yeah, the parchment paper does tend to stick to itself.
Watch your quill.
It's all yellow.
Oh, that was a good one. Runaway, Del Shannon.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh, Tossin' and Turnin', Bobby Lewis. I don't know that.
Tossin' and Turnin', Turnin' and Tossin'. Tossin' and Turnin' all night.
Number
you don't
two
remember
was
the song?
I Fall to Pieces, Patsy Cline.
I fall to pieces. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
What about 1962?
Stand by. 1962, we go back in the time machine.
Get the quill.
And it's Stranger on the Shore, Acker Bilk.
I don't even know that.
I don't know that. Number two is I Can't Stop Loving You, Ray Charles.
I can't stop loving you.
Didn't Van Halen do that?
This is back when they had the records. Instead of records, they had the tubes that you put into the Victrolas.
Yeah. Everything was in mono.
Yeah.
My uncle used to own a Victrola store. Isn't that crazy?
You know what's crazy? I look at this list, and about half of this list were records I played on the radio.
Oh, all right.
I had a job. I mean, 1989, the number one song in 1989, Look Away by Chicago.
Look Away? God, I love that's a great song.
How about 91?
When You See Me Walking By.
And the tears are in my
eyes. And the tears are in my eyes. Look away, baby. Look away. I'm sorry, Joe.
1991. That's when my brother was born.
1991. Let's go to 1991. Everything I do for you, Brian Adams.
That's a good song. Love that song.
It's in town tonight.
Yeah. He's at Ravinia this year, too.
All right, so I guess we don't have time to determine when the space station's going to hit us all on that.
Oh, come on.
Yeah, where's it?
Just give us the year.
There is a late-breaking update to that story, too, by the way.
Oh, there is.
I'll let you go ahead and tell the story, though.
This is a space station, a Chinese station, as I understand it, Steve. You're a space expert here.
It is the Chinese Cheng Chong.
Is that actually the name of it, or are you just profiling?
I think it's pronounced Ting Yang 1.
T-I-A-N-G-O-N-G. Ting Yang 1. The space station has been monitored for quite some time now to be on a collision course with Earth. And at some point in March, scientists had no idea where it was going to end up. But know it's going to end up somewhere this weekend. Will it hit us on the head?
This weekend?
This weekend. Steve, will it hit us on the head?
No, it will not. Okay, experts now say they believe it's going to break up and it'll be multiple fireballs as it comes in and burn up before it hits the ground.
All right. Now, the Earth is 70% water. Is it mostly going to land on the water then?
There's a big swath of it that's in a populated area. It's around the center of the Earth, basically, from like Chicago, south of Chicago, down to the equator and follow that band all around the Earth. So it's probably going to hit. I would say it would hit the ground if it ever hit anywhere because it's,
All right. If you're in Oak Park, duck.
Right.
Until further notice, because it could hit you.
But it's going to burn up. There are going to be pieces of it. It's going to break apart and burn up.
But you don't know if the big flaming chunk will land in Oak Park. That's all I'm saying.
Maybe.
Warning, Oak Park, duck. The Chinese King Kong space station is coming your way. Samberg.
Yep, hold on.
You're not on the air. Flip some switches in there, will you?
Turn some switches on. Former producer of the show, Mike Jacobson, would like to know 1985, the song of his birthday.
Do you know what? I bet I could guess that.
Also, for those who care, he and Audrey have 6 weddings this summer and then their own. So 7 weddings if you're still tracking their weddings.
Sounds like a summer off. Careless Whisper by Wham.
Careless Whisper. Okay. I think he's like one of those. What do you call him? He's like a softie. A romantic, so he probably likes that.
Yeah. He is a softie.
Are we invited to the wedding? Do we know yet, Mary?
Is this going to be a thing? I guess if you got to save the date, you know.
Oh, wow.
Did you get to save the
date? And amongst a million reasons.
Just because you set him up, whatever.
Amongst a million reasons, I know that Abigail Grace Cochran is special. My one and only grandchild, 2 years old. Uptown Funk was the number one song
of
the year she was born.
And she got to save the date.
Yes, Abigail
has got to save the date. She probably did. She's probably the flower girl.
This is 720 WGN Chicago.
As I listened to you kids and all the songs when you were born, didn't hear anybody mention 1934, so if you can take a look at that, I'd appreciate it.
We will find
it
for
it.
You.
We're on
1934. We got it, big O.
1934. It was probably Gene Autry back in the saddle again.
Good song, though.
That's your money on 720 WGN.
Number one song in 1934, Devo and Whip It.
Devo and Whip It. Well, as a matter of fact, my dad had a car that was the Whippet automobile.
Come on.
There you go.
Yeah, really. It was a 1928 Whippet, I think, is what my dad had.
Actually, the number one.
H-I-P-P-E-T.
Yeah. The number one song in 1934, for real, Love and Bloom by Bing Crosby.
Oh, Bing. Okay. Yeah. I can go along with that.
All right, as long as you approve. Thank you.
Yes.
See you later.
Nobody home on the left side of the infield, but Yuan's probably trying to pull it.
He does. Hard hit and throw! Moncada with a game winner! He tied it! He won it! 3-2, your final score!
This is the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
9:45. Steve Cochran Show number 1114 continues. We are excited to be the flagship for White Sox Radio. And Ed and DJ will do those games. Of course, Steve Stone checks in with us every week. But, you know, one of the great stories in baseball, and I'm telling you, one of the best play-by-play guys, period, Jason Benetti, joins us now on the phone. And if you're half as excited as Steve Stone was last week, I like our chances.
Off on you, first of all, and second of all, I was excited in the first place, but when we got together for dinner last night in Kansas City, we were both over the moon. I'm ready to go. You could have rolled the ball out there at like 11 o'clock last night and I'd have done the game, but this is going to be such a fun season.
Jason, how much higher is that level of excitement for you than it was last opening day?
Well, since I got to see you at a couple Northwestern basketball games, it's much higher.
It's quite a thrill, isn't it, Jason?
It is. I'm first of all, this is my first opening day personally, so I'm a little more excited. And number two, I just think this clubhouse has an otherworldly sense about it. These guys like each other so much and are so like-minded in what they're aiming at in being the core of the White Sox for years to come and doing it together as much as you can in a sport with trades and free agency. I'm thrilled to see what the atmosphere was like in spring training. That was a big time plus. And I think everybody's just ready to really entertain and entertain each other while they're doing it this season.
How much of that, Jason, do you attribute to the guidance of Ricky Renteria and the tone that he sets?
I mean, here's the thing that he is so exceptional at. Some people, as they're watching a game, say, well, why didn't this guy get pulled from the game for doing X? And sometimes Ricky does that. But, and you'll see it in our coverage if you look for it. There are moments when somebody will come off the field and Ricky Renteria will go to them immediately and have a teaching moment. And yes, for 28 to 32-year-olds, he can still do that. And he does it because they know it's in their best interest to listen. But the other component is, while that negative thing is happening on the field, Ricky will turn to the other folks on the bench and say, that's what not to do. He's very savvy at knowing when to hit the button psychologically and when not to, and when to kind of let it play out itself. But he does not let things sit in the ether for very long. He would rather address it. And so I think that's an exceptional point, that he is very much a part of that atmosphere. I mean, every day in spring training, I don't know what goes on in these meetings because they're team-only meetings, but I hear stories about, like, people creating videos and some people playing musical instruments. It's like there's, like, part talent show and part motivation. I mean, it's very much a cohesive family-like thing. And a lot of people say that in sports, you know, well, this is family and we're acting like family. It's kind of like a crazy family, but it's very enjoyable. He knows that there is a combination of work and play, and I think he hits the right spot.
You know, as this season cranks up, everybody's thinking, well, you know, we've seen the depth of the farm system and we hear people, baseball experts, alleged and otherwise, say this is a team that could be 3 years away. You know, baseball, those turns can happen quicker. They can take longer. But it does seem, I don't want to get ahead of myself here, but it does seem like, to use a cliche, a lot of the pieces are already in place.
Well, it's opening day. We get to use all the baseball
cliches right.
we want.
Anything's possible.
Part of it. Somebody just opened the cabinet, so they're spilling out. Pick them up as you can. no, I think you're right. I mean, the window in Major League Baseball now is the fact that, number one, it's the length of the window is based, I think, on the volume of your prospects and how many you have. And that's where the Sox have done a bang-up job. But also, the window creaks open accidentally sometimes. Like Minnesota last year, the Twins did not believe, even right before the trade deadline, that they were going to contend. They went and got Jaime Garcia, and then 10 days later, they traded him away because they got swept on a West Coast road trip. So I think quite often the window is fleeting. I don't think the Sox are chasing this year, and I actually think that puts them in a much more stable situation just group mentally, that everybody in the organization is very much on board with this direction. So there's not going to be that tug and pull. It's kind of, hey, this is us. This is who we have. And if at some point at the deadline, a couple guys get flipped again, then that might be the direction they go. But at this point, you get the feeling like the window may open sooner than we believe. But that's not to guarantee it. It's just to say, if you have this positive of a clubhouse presence and some people play above where the projections believe they might, it's one third of the teams in the American League who make the playoffs. So it's not completely far-fetched to think that the window could prematurely open.
Well said by you. What do you make of the division? Who do you like in the division? Who's obvious and who's a sleeper other than obviously our Sox?
It's kind of weird. The feeling is Cleveland is going to be really good again. Lindor and Ramirez and Kluber. I mean, it's headlining star potential, MVP-like caliber guys. So Cleveland, for me, is probably going to win the division. Minnesota did some damage in terms of rebuilding the back end of its pitching staff with Jake Odorizzi and Lance Lynn, and there are some positives there. Kansas City just lost Salvador Perez carrying his luggage for 4 to 6 weeks. He partially tore his MCL, so he's not going to start behind the plate today. Kansas City's kind of in a strange situation, too, because they're like half rebuild, but Moustakas is back for a year, but they lost Hosmer, so it's some of the same guys. And then Detroit has all these veterans, and the reports from spring training are that Victor Martinez looks as fit as he has in years, and I know he's had a heart issue, but he looks as fit as he has in years, and the Tigers are trying to reload for one more run at it. My feeling is the Sox could very easily finish somewhere in like the third place range ahead of Kansas City and Detroit, just because I think the Sox have a clearer direction. So they're not going to get caught in between. I'm not going to say anything's impossible, right? Like Cleveland could have a bunch of injuries. The division could be down. Who knows where the Sox guys play? But my feeling is third or fourth is probably most likely this season. But the division is down from where it was previously, I think.
You know, I guess I haven't paid much attention to the Royals. Is this a Marlins situation where you win the World Series, can't afford to keep guys or decide to get rid of them? How do they get in a rebuild 2 years later?
No, I think it's aging. I think it's more about aging and the way baseball is going in terms of reaching toward prospects rather than veterans. I mean, Eric Hosmer remained unsigned for a pretty lengthy period of time before he went to San Diego. And then Moustakas was kind of just suspended out there in free agent land for a while, too. And the Royals said, well, we kind of need a third baseman, so you should come back for a year. It's not as much of a demolition as it is kind of a slow burn with aging. So Kansas City does have some young players who you'll see today, but there's also this kind of potpourri of veterans like Lucas Duda in the lineup, and Moustakas is back. And Alex Gordon, if he was the Alex Gordon of old, maybe it's a different story as well, but he struggled offensively last year. So it's just that Kansas City has not loaded up its farm system as the Sox or the Padres or the Braves have. They're kind of that tweener spot, which I know we're familiar with.
Yeah, the Moustakas thing was weird because he turned down the qualifying offer, ends up signing for millions and millions less. Jason, let me ask you, as you look at the White Sox roster, well, let's look at the projected starting lineup for today. We know who the stars are on this team. We know about Abreu. We know who the anticipated stars are. Give us a sleeper on this team, a guy that after watching him in spring training, maybe watching him last year some, you expect to have a year that maybe Sox fans aren't expecting.
I think Adam Engel, and we've not been shy about documenting that, and there have been people on the beat that have written stories about Adam and his change in terms of where his hand position is at the plate. But he hit 166 last year and was still defensively one of the top center fielders in baseball. I mean, he was, they call it outs above average. He was tied for third in outs above average that he created. So essentially, take your average center fielder, the average number of outs that he would create, and then Adam was well above that in short time. So that's a volume stat. So saying that he's top three while not spending the whole season in Major League Baseball, is superlative. So I think, I mean, he hits 166 last year. I think that's not going to happen. And you don't need to go out on a limb to say that, because if he started that way, the Sox have options for center fielders. So he probably wouldn't get the chance, I wouldn't say. But I think based on, you know, his really ridiculous offensive numbers in spring training and his different swing path now, I do sense that he's bound to have probably a substantially better year at the plate.
It's Jason Benetti. We look forward to having you on whenever you're available and talking about the Sox. We're thrilled to be a part of it.
Well, I'm happy to be available if you guys are so wonderful as this time. Yeah. And it seems like that's always true.
Yeah, it really is. As long as Ennett's involved, it really is. We're delightful.
Most of the time, Jason. Most of the time.
Jason, thanks, man. Have a great opener.
Like the caveat. Thank you. Thank you.
Thanks,
we're going to enjoy it.
Have fun today.
9:55, Bill and Mystery. Who's with Bill today?
I don't know, but don't you love Jason's voice?
He's just great, period.
He's just
voice.
As good a guy as he is in an
episode. Yeah, and along with doing a great game, he's just thrilled to be here and delivers every game.
Southside guy.
It's 9:56. Bill and Mystery co-host next on 720 WGN.
This is 720 WGN Chicago.
Bill F. is here. Wendy's off this week on puppy duty. And by the way, that sounds like code for something.
Puppy
she
duty.
Actually has a puppy. And your mystery co-host is?
That's Judy Pilak.
Oh!
Hello.
You know Judy Pilak. You've met Judy.
I have a puppy,
past.
Too, but I'm able to work.
You have a new puppy?
Oh, I do.
That's because you're lucky.
He's a couple, like 2 months old.
That's his name, right?
Or no, wow. I'm sorry. We've had him for 2 months. He's like 7 months old now.
Is that right?
I'm calling him a dog now.
Steve, you know, Judy is in the newsroom a lot of the day here at WGN, and she just, they're working on a story. Apparently, the Loyola Ramblers, they have a plan that they're going to have dinner.
Where it is, and again,
kids, you can believe that.
Where
dinner.
This is why Dave Ennett,
storming out.
Dave Ennett breaking stories. Last night, he told us early this morning. Last night, the team arrived in San Antonio.
Yes.
And they had dinner.
Had dinner right there in San Antonio.
I think he's taken out his pent up anger on me, because I said, Dave, what time is the game on Saturday? To which he replied, what, have you been out of the country?
Which I did not say it that
he
way.
He said it meaner.
Dave seems like
a
nice guy.
I've got one he can't answer. What is a rambler exactly?
It's a hobo.
Well, their mascot was a hobo.
They changed it because they felt it was not PC. Sort of inappropriate.
But now that they're winning, all the hobos want the old logo. Yeah, that's all they're talking about.
Now, Dave told me the dinner for some of them was perch. Can you confirm that, Dave? Do we know for sure if it was perch?
Bill, I don't expect this from you.
I expect it from Steve. No, I'm sorry.
One last apology from a listener. I need to apologize to the winery my husband and I visited in Napa. I noticed a really nice piece of pottery. I lifted it, turned it over to see the price. It was actually the vase where people spit their wine after they
taste
it. Nobody noticed. We ran.
Wow.
Hey, we're back tomorrow for a big Friday show. Dave will have more breaking news on whatever Loyola is eating. And we will talk to you then.